No introductions that has been done. Items on the agenda is the report as well as the bill. Madam Fatim, are you ready for the bill? You think we can conclude the bill today? I think let's start with the bill and then we'll end with the report. But we also have an apology from the minister, the deputy minister, as well as Madam Killian, I think I don't see the reason why we should not conclude the bill. But whilst we are on that matter, I was cited by Ajira the other day, and I got a correspondence to the effect that the two bills in front of us, which is the Igamba bill and the amendment bill, should be processed and concluded. There's a request or whatever, I don't know what it is, be concluded before the end of 2018. And I said, okay, you know I've got my views on the matter because of our incapacity. I then went and I met the House Chair, Mr. Frolic, to present our matter that if we do not have the necessary support in the form of legal support, content advisory, as well as research, we are not going to treat that bill. Because in the main of the technical nature of the bill, but also the interest of the industry in the bill, and obviously the advice that I got from members, including Mama Shin, Sis Shin, that when the bill was introduced some time ago, there were about 46 submissions. 46, ne?
48,
something like that. And we need more time to work on the bill. So the issue that I raised with Mr. Frolic, first was that we need the support. But over and above that support, we will then need no less than a whole week or 2 weeks to do public hearings. And we can't just do public hearings for the fun of it. We should actually be doing thorough work on those public hearings. But then, having listened to the inputs, for instance, from both the state law advisor and our parliamentary advisory committee, that they were also not very clear about, they were not confident about the content of the bill, I then said, if those people are not very clear, who are we? And we are not very experts in that field. So we need that capacity. So they came back to me and said, well, they can give us an advisor or secretary or researcher, but those people are committed in another committee. I then said, no, if we have to do the work, that person should be, those people should be allocated to the committee. Then we parted, and then I wrote them a letter to the fact that if they do not have that capacity internally, they must go and procure that capacity externally, because there's no way we'll continue with that bill unless we have that capacity. So I've given them time and said before we actually, even before we start to get the submissions, I want that team around so that even with the first submission, they should be in a position to look at that bill. But secondly, we do not want, because that bill, the bill are prioritized, we do not want to wait until the submissions are here. So if we have that backup support, for instance, we could be going through the bill already as committee, just to understand what it entails, what it means, the impact it would have, so that when we get the submissions, we already know what we are working on. So basically, those were my, and that's the letter that I wrote to Mr. Frolic, and I'm hoping that we'll be in a position in time to get a response in terms of that that support. And yeah, that's where we are. And I hope I have the support of the committee in that position. And on a second matter, I am hoping that we will, I'll be meeting, because I'm speaking to officials from CETA around this challenge that we have, which led to the resignation of the CFO, that I need the audience to spend some time with CETA, understand the intricacies, but seek the audience of the leadership of the institution, so that we are able to deal with the challenges that confront us, confront CETA, for instance, when they have to do their work and they get called by every committee every now, because indeed they do render a secondary service, or they do render a service to most of the departments. And when departments are invited to come and appear, and there's a matter that touches CETA, CETA is bound to be called to appear. But the challenge of encroaching into oversight work, which is the responsibility of this committee, is always there unless it is managed. So it's a very thin, thin line to walk on, and I'm hoping that we will navigate that route and see where it can take us. And that takes us to the Madam Fatima, who is going to take us to the bill, and I am confident that today you will bring us to finality. But I'm looking at your face. You are not smiling. But yeah, you are on the floor, Madam.
Good morning, and thank you, Chair. Good morning to all the honourable members and our colleagues from the department. Chair, what I've done on this version is that I took the version that was presented at the last meeting, and I accepted all the track changes that we were happy with, because the track changes were now longer than the actual original bill, so it was becoming quite confusing to read, and all the version in front of you captures is those things on which we reached agreement. You will recall that there are still one or two issues that you had requested that committee members go back to their caucuses, take a position on, and then let us know. Those issues are not going to take us long to draft. It's policy matters that we just need a yay or nay on. And we can fairly easily do that within a day, and then send the bill to CREDA to put it in the CREDA version, so that when you do your formal adoption, you can see the bill exactly as it's going to look when it becomes an act. It's just much easier for you to look at it that way. But let me go through the issues very quickly, Chair. And as I said, I'm only going to highlight those ones where we've made changes. On the long title of the bill, page 2, you'll recall that the department requested that we add the word training. So where we speak of the functions of collaborative laboratories, so we talk about collaborative laboratories for digital skills, knowledge production, training, and coordination. And we were in agreement that that accurately reflects what the intention of these collabs are. The table of contents, Chair, I'm going to ignore. There's nothing there. In terms of definition, under collab, we carried through the training again, as we did in the long title. I've added the definition of these two pieces of legislation, the Continuing Education and Training Act, as well as the Higher Education and Training Act, because we do use it later on in the bill. So instead of repeating it in full every time, it's just a drafting convention that we dispense with it up front. But that has no content bearing at all. On page 6, post-school education and training institution, a mistake had crept in where the title of the act over there was incorrectly referenced. It's in fact the Continuing Education and Training Act, so we've corrected that. Establishment of the institute, there's just minor wording changes. We've removed the verb. objects of the Institute, we've added the word innovative research networks instead of just research networks, and I'm sure that came from Prof, but we have no objection as the parliamentary legal advisors. Functions of the Institute, Chair, we did some rewording here, but without changing the content. What we noticed was that, and we mentioned it last week.
Sorry, Chair, sorry to interrupt, ma'am. Yes. Can you just give us a page number as you move
along?
Page 7. Thank you.
It's page 7, clause 4, the functions of the Institute.
Thank you.
We had said last week that we're going to try and tidy up the drafting. We were referring to collaboration in quite a few of these sub-paragraphs. So what we've done is to try and collapse this duty to collaborate. So you need to do all of these things, but in doing so, you need to collaborate with government, business, civil society, and education and training institutions. So you'll see now, Chair, under subsection 2C, that's where the collaboration has now found a new home, but as I said, the content still remains exactly the same. I also then moved,
on page 8 now,
there was a duty to avoid duplication, fill gaps, and to maximize the use of resources. I've also brought that down, but that's just drafting style. It doesn't affect the content at all. Still on page 8, subsection 3, we changed the word authorize there to direct, and this is in relation to the minister directing the institute to perform any additional functions, not inconsistent with this act. And I agree that that's the preferred wording, Chair. Page 9, there's nothing. Page 10, clause 6, subsection 5. We've replaced it with the Public Finance Management Act instead of referring to subsection 2.3, which referred us back to the PFMA. So the purpose of this is just a drafting convention so that people are not having to flip through the Act continuously once it comes into operation. But again, no bearing on the meaning at all. On the next page, 11, subsection 8 there, chairperson was meant to be with a small c, which we've done, so that was just a minor correction. Page 12, there were no changes. Page 13, under 9, this is the big one, Chair. You'll recall that you asked members to come back to us on two issues. One, whether they feel that we should prohibit public servants from being part of the board, and they were going to come back and let us know. And the second was on the issue of political office bearers and employees of political parties. Honourable Killian had raised a concern as to whether we would be limiting freedom of association if we prohibited these people from serving. I've considered it. Certainly, I think there can be a legal challenge, but my own view is that in a board you want independence. So when you talk about an office bearer of a political party, that could mean anybody from an extremely senior person in that party to somebody that just serves a very minor constituency in a rural area. Those people would have very different pull. If I were to put it that way. However, to draft that in law, to say that when it comes to people that are occupying seemingly, I don't want to call it insignificant, but smaller positions, vis-a-vis those occupying more important positions, it would be very difficult to capture because each political party operates very differently. In my own view, the prohibition is justified. I did agree that the wording needed to be cleaned up. So now what we've said is an office bearer or employee of any political party registered in terms of the Electoral Commission Act. I'm willing to consider dropping the employee part, meaning those employees that would serve as admin people, legal advisors, accountants, or whatever it is for a particular political party. I think the political sway and the independence here actually speaks to the office bearers of that particular party, but that the committee can consider. Chair, together with this issue of those in the public service. The department is of the view that it's important to leave that open so that they do have, the minister does have the election to appoint such people because of the specific skill set that they will bring in. You will recall Honourable Killian felt that that isn't necessarily the case, but it is something for the committee to decide, Chair. So it's on those two issues that we await your further instruction before we move on, Chair.
And that's where you are ending.
No, Chair, there is more. I don't know if you want to pause there and...
Okay, proceed.
Do you want me to proceed? You're going to think? Okay. Under vacancies, 10 on the same page, there's nothing there. Conflict of interest, the only thing that we added, and that's over the page on page 16, you'll see... Well, let me take you back. On 11.1, you'll see that we talk about members of the board performing their functions in a fair, unbiased and proper manner, and we've just carried that over to subsection 2 for the sake of completeness. And then, Chair, at the end of that clause, you'll recall we had quite a long discussion on what this fine should be. I have upped it to 500,000 instead of the... 250 that it was originally. My view remains, however, that we can't force the judiciary to issue a fine of a specific amount. There is separation of powers, and we need to respect the independence of the judiciary. So up to 500,000, I was happy to increase it there. So that's what we've done. We haven't increased the imprisonment period. That we've kept at 5 years, unless the committee feels that you also want... that to be a little bit longer. Code of Ethics, as we mentioned in the meeting last week, instead of using the word adopt, and this is the top of page 17, we've now said to develop that Code of Ethics. We've also put in a review period for the code of at least every 5 years. The committee can consider whether it wants it to be a shorter period. But when we say at least every 5 years, of course, nothing prevents you from doing it earlier. And then we've just clarified that this code of ethics must be developed by the board within 120 days from appointment of the first board in terms of this act. On board committees, I just added one minor change to 13.1, where I've said that the board may appoint one or more committees as required now in terms of this act or any other law. You'll recall, Chair, that we had a discussion about the PFMA and the audit committee, where the PFMA says you must have this committee, and there was a concern that because this clause is drafted as a may, this board may think that they have an election not to follow the PFMA. So just to clarify, I've added in terms of this act or any other law. On page 18, this is something new that I added, Chair, when I was looking through this issue of these committees that we hadn't dealt with, and that is the manner in which these committees can be dissolved, because I think that's also important. When you establish a subcommittee of this nature, on what basis is the board going to dissolve? Because you wouldn't want the board willy-nilly dissolving and having new committees to suit any ulterior motives. So I've just dealt with the issue of dissolution to say that must be covered as well. Meetings of the board... page 18 and 19, Chair, we had a discussion there as to what exactly was meant by clause 7 and subsection 7 at least, and I said I would get back to the committee. My view on the reading of that is that it's referring specifically to voting round robin style, so to send the email out and request whether people are in agreement or not. The issue that it doesn't capture there is attendance via electronic means at a meeting. That is an issue that is captured in the Companies Act, where it says that board meetings may be conducted by electronic communication, provided that communication allows all meeting participants to participate reasonably effectively in the meeting and to communicate concurrently with each other without an intermediary. So that's whether you have it up on a screen or via a telecon call, it allows that. The committee can decide whether it wants me to also include that, so attendance via an electronic means. It's a policy issue. But I think it's extremely useful. It's certainly a cost-saving measure instead of flying board members, especially where there's an urgent meeting. So if the committee is in agreement, we can simply add a clause to cover that, Chair.
Because it's a new matter, any reflections on the matter, on this specific one? I seem to support it. Look, it makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense. Actually, I wanted to say something else, which is, has to do with members of parliament. But it makes perfect sense. I mean, the fact that even when judges or when presidents are sworn, taking an oath, for instance, when the person has to act as a president in the absence of the president, they actually can do that. They actually do that electronically as well. So it's a very important decision taken. And indeed, the fact that it is practiced, and you may need the input of a particular input for a person who may necessarily not be in the meeting, and you need to deal with that matter, participation electronically makes sense. And the fact that the world is moving towards digital life, surely hugging and kissing in meetings does not become that important. So, yeah, that's included. And I can see that there is no objection. Moi.
Thank you, Chair. That's captured. And dissolution of the board. Honourable Shun, I think it was you that raised this issue of what did we mean by mismanagement when we said the board can be dissolved on grounds of mismanagement. It is a clause that appears in a number of pieces of legislation. What I've done to try and just clarify it a little bit, because I think that it does raise some confusion about management in terms of what the role of the CEO is vis-a-vis what the role of the board is as the oversight authority over there. So what I've said now is where the board has failed or is unable to perform its duties in terms of the Act, because the Act is clear what the board must do. So if the board hasn't done it or they're unable to do it for whatever reason, that would be a basis to dissolve. And then I've added a new one, which is paragraph C, or on any other reasonable grounds which renders the continued effective functioning of the board impossible. So by way of example, that may include if there's an irretrievable breakdown between the minister and the board. So instead of closing that gap by referring to specific incidences, I've kept it a little bit broader, but the test there for the minister would be that it needs to be serious enough that the board can't continue to function effectively. And of course, the PAJA Act comes into play, and the minister would have to give people an opportunity to make reps and all of those processes that would need to be followed. But I think that covers this confusion of what is meant by the term mismanagement. Page 21, there's nothing. 22, just a very minor change on the last line where minister was a small M instead of a capital M. Page 23, clause 18, or an and is not a minor thing in law, it's actually quite significant. We've changed this to an or to terminate the employment of the chief executive or chief financial officer. So it doesn't mean that you have to terminate both at the same time. So that was quite an important one picked up by the department. Page 24, there's nothing there.
You're afraid that both of them may go, eh?
Page 25, there was nothing. 26, Chair, on transitional arrangements, and it's covered in 27.8. Chair, you will recall that we had a discussion about this, and I will allow the DDG to respond on this issue of the CEO of NAMESA and the transfer to this new institute. My reading of this clause is that this person that's in the acting position now would also be transferred, but would be transferred as an acting person, not be transferred formally into that post in a permanent position. I know that the committee had reservations, and the DDG is going to respond on the legality of that appointment in the first place. But the difficulty that you also sit with is that we've got the Labour Relations Act that is saying that we need to transfer all of these employees. I think that would be an interesting legal challenge because this isn't a going concern, the business, in the ordinary sense when we talk about Section 197 transfers. This is actually quite a unique situation. It's a government company that's been shut down and we have a new entity. So I think that there could be legal challenges both ways there in terms of the transfer. The safer option is to transfer the staff so that they don't deal with labor disputes afterwards. But in respect of this particular person, I'm going to allow the DDG to give us clarity, Chair.
Morning, Chair, and good morning to honourable members. We did try to respond even at the last meeting on this issue, and we have subsequently discussed the matter again. Chair, there are at least two things we wish to put on the table here. The first one is that an acting appointment is an appointment that may be withdrawn at any time. You know, so that is the first thing. There is no entitlement to acting in terms of the law, the Labour Relations Act, as we understand it. So that is the first thing. If it was found not desirable for this acting person to continue to act in the new entity that is being established, that may easily be withdrawn and a new person would act. But the way we understand the committee's concern is that it's not only with respect to the new entity that the committee is concerned. The committee is concerned even within the current NEMESA to have a board member acting as the CEO. It's the same view that the minister has and has been communicated to the current board. So the minister has requested the board to expedite the process of getting an acceptable person to act as the CEO of NEMESA. So we understand the board is underway even to recruit, you know, the formal appointment for the permanent CEO, and we believe that by the time this law becomes law, or this bill becomes law, that would have been dealt with. So in short, Chair, if it were to happen that the current acting person is still acting at the time that this bill becomes law and the committee does not wish to have that person to continue, that acting could easily be withdrawn. But we also feel that would have been obviated over time.
It is not for the committee we are not running the administration. We do not micromanage the activities of the department as well as its entities. We were just we're expressing a view on what we perceive to be out of line. It's not our wishes. Remember, our work is oversight. We are not accountable for the right and the wrong that happens in the department. And if you see something that we are concerned about, we have a responsibility to raise that matter. And we will never say fire, withdraw, appoint. Can't do those things. We will not hold that person accountable for his appointment because he didn't appoint himself. We will take you, Sherembe, and the minister and the chairperson of the board if there are things that are out of line. I think that's the position of the committee. We can't dictate to you. And even in law, as we enact this legislation, we can't put it in law and say, an ex-person shall not be, it would be, we can't legislate for a person as a rule. So, but it's fine. I think we'll express our view and you have to do your work, and ours is to do our work. If you're comfortable with the arrangement, that's you. Yeah?
Madam?
Chair, that's all from me. So I simply await the election now on clause 9, the disqualification of a member of the board. And that's in relation to officials in the public service and persons employed or office bearers of political parties, Chair.
Look, members, any views, any comment? Mama Sheen, Mama Mackenzie, Mama Tsutefi, and the rest of the colleagues. If you have a view, I mean, we did reflect on the matter, and I said, yeah, when I said go consult your political parties as well, I just meant go think about it, and if you need to consult, consult. Consult other legal frameworks and consult yourselves. Look, this entity, I mean, the question that comes to mind is, here is J.L. Mahlangu, who is the chairperson of the ANC in the province of Pumala. He's reasonably qualified, holding a very advanced IT whatever thing acquired from China. What negative will that person bring in an entity like this one by being appointed there? What are the politics? How politically, what are the things that this person will do that would put the organization, that would off-ramp the organization? Perhaps he'll deny DA members who are applying, if he knows them, to be part of the entity, or because the University of University X has got the DASA SCM, whatever the student organization, and they may be disadvantaged by that person, eh? Okay. Perhaps, I don't know. But here is a person, as you have mentioned, very low in the structures of the organization, even unknown, but it did declare that, no, I happen to chair EFF position chairperson in Tswane. By virtue of being a branch member, they elected me because they trusted me, and now I am. Constitutionally, you are denying a person who really does not pose even a single threat to the cause, to that entity. You are denying that entity, a very skillful person, an input from a person. I think it will not stand a constitutional challenge. This act may not stand a constitutional challenge. If I were to be a branch member somewhere there, federal, and I apply to be a board member, or I'm nominated to be a board member because of my skill and what have you, and I'm denied by virtue of the fact that I'm sharing a branch. It sounds like we have actually gone far. And interesting enough, you have Ushalembe, the DG of state security. And he comes easily and he becomes a boatman. And there are so many things that are happening in that entity that may impact on this thing. But we allow him. Now, what it actually tries to, an impression that we are creating that we, and we know, I don't know, I mean, I think the main thing, what is it that we are running away from the political players that we are comfortable with? amongst the people in the administration. Chalembe would have been a DG, but before he became a DG, he was a branch chairperson of the DA in Gwalanga, and then he resigned when he wanted to be appointed, and now he's a DG, but still voting for the organization, active behind closed doors, but he comes in and he takes the lead. I wouldn't need to share the Uber voter in fact, shooting as an example. That Shalembe is not you, it's just a person.
He's wearing blue shirts.
So, my take is that, and I have nothing against it, you know, but the argument that Madame Killian raised for me holds that in the past you did not have knowledgeable people who could make an input, and over time that had become a convention or a practice that was allowed, that HODs would or civil servants would be part of the board. Some of them would be deployed by ministers, by whoever else for a particular whatever. But let's look back and see whether have we benefited from the board members who are active public servants, and what is the downside of it? I'm not married to anything. I was just exposing this situation that we don't seem to treat same thing, similar things the same way. Baba Makenzi, perform.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I made reference previously, I think, to the Gambling Act in Gauteng, where office bearers in a political party are not allowed to hold positions in gaming companies, for example. And it's not in the National Act, but it is in the Provincial Act, Gambling Act for Gauteng. It's one of those anomalies. I think, Ms. Fatima put it the best, where she said the intention must be, I think, to create an independent board, a board that's free of political influence. And I think the freedom of association thing was valid, because you can't, and in fact, you wouldn't want to stop people joining a political party of their choice. But I think if they run for elected office, then it's almost a political commitment, if you like, on the side of that particular individual to sit in an office or hold political office, whereas membership is something else. So I would argue for the inclusion of that clause, Chair, just to make sure that this entity is independent. Similar in the way that Shalembe, we would like to see him as a professional civil servant and not an adherent to a particular political party or ideology. So I would support the inclusion of that clause, Chair.
And you are referring to political parties that are in parliament or any political party?
Office bearers, but not members.
Unregistered.
No, registered.
Like the SACP, which is not registered?
They are registered.
No.
They just don't fight elections, but they are registered. Or not yet, anyway.
Registered where? With the
IEC?
No.
Are they not registered? Never.
No, there was just some other somewhere who registered themselves somewhere in the Free State or something. Now, you have Blake Nzimande, who is the Secretary General of the SACP, indeed a doctor, so you are comfortable with him, but you have a problem with Shalembe, who's somewhere there in a small branch. See, it's a contradiction in terms.
Mr. Nzimande would probably be disqualified because of who he is.
Just on. Who's that principal?
And
he wouldn't make the cut.
I think.
Cameras move now.
Madam, come. You are on the floor.
Chair, the difficulty with leaving it loosely drafted the way it was in the original version and the way in which, in fact, it appears in many, many pieces of legislation is that the way in the way in which politics is maturing is very different to what it was 20 years ago when we had specific political parties and we knew what they stood for and that's what they were. Today we've got BLF, we've got the fees must fall. I think I could personally quite easily make an argument out that somebody that is heading the fees must fall is that's a political movement. Or BLF is a political movement, notwithstanding that they're not going to be registered with the IEC and contest elections. So the previous version I do think is quite loose and it you could make an argument that anybody in any sort of organized group, in fact, is political in some way or another. But I think the question here is, what is the mischief you're trying to prevent? And the mischief is political influence. Political influence can only happen where there's power. There must be a corresponding power, and that power would be where that political entity, party, or gathering of people have decision-making power somewhere, whether it's in parliament or somewhere else. So for me, I'm fairly comfortable with drafting it in the style that we have to say they must be registered with the IEC. Of course, what that doesn't prevent is the mischief of a political organization that isn't registered but that lobbies a political party that is, the way the trade unionists would do. But that's a different thing. I think we're making it a little bit too complicated. But for me, I'm more comfortable with the IEC. The reason is there's a definitive test there. Somebody can quickly go and check, the minister before making the appointment can go and check whether that political party is registered, whether this person in fact is an office bearer, and Bob's your uncle. Whereas putting it too loosely is going to make it quite difficult to ascertain, firstly, whether that political movement is in fact a political movement, and secondly, whether that person is in fact an office bearer. In many of these other political movements, people are self-appointed office bearers. So it's just something to consider. I don't have a view on it, but just something to consider, Chair.
Just repeat what we're trying to avoid. You're saying we're trying to avoid the political mischief because the people carries power. Now, that argument is problematic because we can take it further. There are people outside politics who has more political capital than people in politics. Take, for instance, a priest. A priest, I mean, the evidence that is being presented now in PE about the amount of power that Omotoso commands, just putting that, and it is serious power, and they have huge followings, so they have very influential in society, even more than politicians. What is not politics in life? That's the question to ask. So, Kulman Nani Mabafuetu, I want to listen to other lawyers. Professor, you must also come in and speak. Let's try and convince each other on this matter. What is it that we are trying to avoid by inclusion or exclusion? So I want to listen to these learned friends seated there. Now it's Sisila, coming up. Let's stretch this matter out. We've expressed our views, but let's stretch it out so that at least we have a cleaner bill when we conclude. That's where we are hanging now. We can go in, but yeah, sir, at the end.
My view is that there could be arguments for and against the inclusion of this paragraph. It's something that I think I foresee will definitely be tested for its constitutionality in court. The serious concern is that it is a limitation of a constitutional right. So the justification therefore would have to be there in terms of Section 36 of the Constitution. There is no precedent for it at the moment, so I don't... What I foresee is that it may very well be that it may not pass constitutional muster. So I think to play it safe is to exclude paragraphs from this provision, just to avoid that situation where we'd have to come back and make further amendments. But like I said, there could be arguments, good arguments for and against the inclusion of the paragraph. So that's just my view.
Minya, I want to hear you as well.
You want to hear me, Chair?
I want to hear the prof, but after that gentleman has spoken.
Yeah, I'm not a legal expert, sir. So it's for me a difficult. As the learned colleague of mine indicated, is that basically there's arguments for and to and fro. I basically support what the Honourable Killian indicated last week, that there was previously not a pool for qualified people, and rightly so. There's an argument that people not affiliated with political power. But for me, it's a question of, and this is my personal view, is that we've got enough expertise in the country to exclude the members of registered political parties, because there might be, I want to say, to put on a different cap, will not necessarily be difficult, but it might be difficult to say, but listen, if I'm a representative of my province, I want to definitely try and sway the delivery of the services to my province. But you might not be able to do that constituting one person in a board of seven. For me, it might be a situation that there will be to put aside your political affiliation and the benefits, getting that to your constituency then might be a little bit more difficult.
Honourable Chairperson, members of the committee, clearly there are arguments for both sides. I'm at this stage concerned that we are taking a broader issue that relates to a number of acts and issues relating to Parliament, specifically into the context of this bill. Clearly this is something that must be debated at other levels. But to link it specifically now to this bill and the way it moves forward could cause a hindrance, of course, in this, or a delay in this going forward. So I think it must be debated at another level. I also think we've got more people available in the country at the moment who can make inputs, and there is another benefit of getting more people involved, in other words, also other people who are not involved in the political parties, not to exclude them, not with that purpose as such only, but specifically also to broaden the base of participation, and I think that in itself is a benefit. I know the issue here is a slightly different one. Should be members office bearers of parties be excluded. I know that is the issue, but I think there are real benefits to having a broader representation of issues on boards such as this.
The prof has spoken. Madam, you want to have your say? Am I putting you on the spot?
No.
Deadline on the left must
For me, I think the office bearers must be included in the bill. The reason being, that's the personal view. I think it would be controversial to include the office bearers because of the independence, and that's why I support that they must be included. I mean, excluded.
Meaning they must not participate. Okay. Baba Mama Sotesi and Baba Shin. Baba Magil.
Yeah, I think It seems the more we try to explain and convince, the more it comes complicated. You know, what Prof is saying, that you can still consult broadly. I'm just trying to think aloud about that broadly, in terms of association, that a person may not be actively involved in any political party. Even if Shalembe resigns from DA, but it doesn't mean, in terms of association, you know, maybe it's a matter of semantics. Maybe it's a matter of semantics, too, but the word association, I don't think there's any other person, whether actively involved or not, who's not associated somehow. For me, you know, emphasis should be on the do's and don'ts of the board. Are you doing as you're required? You know, the independence of the board. And we have the committee that is doing oversight if you're not playing ball.
Baba Magenzi.
Thank you, Chair. Sorry, just to through you, Chair. You said there was no precedent for this. Are you talking about precedent in the drafting of legislation? Because from, as I said, as I referred to earlier, the piece of legislation I know is the Gambling Act in Gauteng that expressly prohibits office bearers from serving in entities that are gambling associations, but not political party members. And I presume that, again, is the independence. And then Ms. Fatima referred to several pieces of legislation that have a similar clause in, and I would imagine that that is precedent as far as the drafting of legislation goes. Thank you, Chair.
You want to come? You want to come
Chair,
in?
What I was referring to was actually case law. I mean by precedent. It hasn't been tested yet. So that's what I was referring to, not
thank
legislation.
Okay. Well, I understand how Teng has to exclude them because knowing how Teng, they must actually exclude all political members of any political party from gambling. Now, Madam Shin, you want to come in?
Yeah, please.
Okay.
Thank you. Chair, this Parliament has a precedent of a board that was the majority of whom were members of the ANC, and that was the SABC board in 2013, I think it was, where there was a conflict between the board and I think it, God knows what it was at that stage, I can't remember offhand if he was the acting CEO or the CEO. He would put some pressure on the board members. They then decided to suspend him or remove him to a new office. He then spoke to his political masters, who instructed all the ANC members of the board to resign, which they did, and therefore collapsed the board, opening the door for Shadi to actually loot the place. So there is a precedent for making sure that political party people are not the majority of any board, because we do have a very serious precedent in this Parliament.
Not sure. We can interrogate that matter further. Well, no, we must. I'm going to get back to you, Madam. I think we've tried to deal with the matter, and my view is that we should remove the clause that refers to, I am comfortable with what the Constitution says. Member of Parliament, NCOP member, councillor. For whatever reason, that councillors are excluded from national legislation, which doesn't make sense to me, but it's fine. I would accept that those people who had that view hold it, and I'll respect it. But we need to go down to French chairperson, some of them just get picked up and not even go through an election process. Yes, Chief, you are chairing here. Hold this for us. I think we've gone too far. And I agree with you, sir, that constitutionally it may not stand the test. I would say exclude it. I mean, yeah, expunge it. Let's go and debate it in the House and see if we can convince anybody otherwise. I would have said, with regards to the officials, I think members have expressed themselves on the matter. And I did agree that we have a lot of capacity in the country, in the 55 million people of this country, where we can find people to serve. Not that I've got anything against the public servants, because you look at those that are outside the service, if you talk about the power they command, they still do. Those inside still do. Value add. Mr. McKenzie is uncomfortable for Mr. Shelembe to be a board member in one of the entities. It's granted. But yeah, we have got an existing precedent that the laws of this country has always included them. We may have issues about it. And perhaps in the meantime, let's get it going. Let's have a debate on the matter. That we've had this thing for a long time. Is it not time that we deal with it differently? Exclude Abubaba U Shelembe from being board members. But for now, perhaps let's leave it. I think let's leave that thing in, as allow them in, but allow those other people in as well. Do I make sense? In other words, now I must go to the bill. The bill was excluding them. Chapter 9, I mean, what do you call? Page 14. If an office bearer or employee, or go back, a person may not be appointed or continue as a member of the board if such person is an office bearer or employee of any political party registered in terms of electoral act. Let's expunge that clause. We out of the woods. That's my view. That's my final thing, madam.
Thank you, Chair. I don't share the same constitutional fears. And the reason is I think our focus is a little bit misguided. The Constitution says you've got freedom of association and you have the right to political participation. There is no clause in the Constitution that says you have a right to be a member of a board. So the right that is being limited must be the right to join a political party or to join any association. And nothing in this Act would prohibit you from joining a political party. So that's my view. So I'm not convinced on the constitutionality issue. Personally, I think perhaps an alternative, which would be a halfway means of dealing with it, is to refer to full-time office bearers, remunerated office bearers. So those ones that are working for the political party on a full-time basis, that is the position that they hold, as opposed to somebody that's doing their bit for their community on a weekend. But of course, the committee can decide. I don't think that there's a legal issue as to whether you have it in or not. Your problems are going to be practical when it comes to the issue of independence of the board. That's where your challenges may be, where somebody says, well, the minister has appointed a person who is in fact the spokesperson for the ACDP in a particular province. And we're not happy about that person being on the board because that person's going to push the agenda of the province or whatever the case may be. So that's just something for the committee to think about. The clause certainly appears in, I think, basically every single piece of legislation that sets up a public entity. So nothing
in this way.
Not referring to the Electoral Commission Act, but referring just generally anybody that belongs to a political, not in terms of membership, but in terms of an office bearer, may not sit on a board. So you'll see that in, I think, almost all of these public entity, the legislation that sets it up. So we would certainly be departing from that. So on the one hand, it's nice to have consistency in law, because it speaks to policy also. On the other hand, I don't think that there's anything legally wrong with removing it, but I do think that the minister may run into some difficulties on the issue of independence at a later stage. But it's for the committee to decide, Chair.
I remember at some stage, I don't know whether it did actually become law, but aren't the police service also barred from being politically active in a political party? I remember there being a huge controversy about it at some stage. If anybody can rack their brains. I don't know whether it's in the officer call or whether any policeman can't belong to a political party. I know it was at that basic level to start with, which I at that stage thought that was a contravention of your average police person's right to join a political party. Whether they were office bearers was where, you know, I would have had problem with that. But just trying to refresh.
A fading memory.
Member McKenzie.
Thank you, Chair. You know, Chair, in the middle of the state capture inquiry, in the middle of question marks around the boards of SOEs, don't you think by including this, we're sending a very powerful message to the country and to the executive about the independence of boards of state-owned entities. And I think it's a unique opportunity to do so, Chair. I don't think, given the legal precedent, that we lose anything by keeping this clause in, but instead we send a powerful message to the country that we won't tolerate political interference in the board of state-owned companies. Thank you, Chair.
Can someone tell me what we talk about when we refer to independence? What is independence?
The ability to act without fear or favour. Well, you don't have split loyalties, Chair. Sorry.
You don't have split loyalties, you know, like as happened with the SABC. The board members that resigned obviously were more loyal to the ANC than they were to their role as independent directors of the SABC board. So they had a split loyalty. So you actually need to know whose agenda they're pushing, if they are pushing an agenda at all. I think it's important to be independent, to actually deal focused, yet you're not having competing interests in the board as to whose interests you're acting in, whether you're acting in the interests of the board or some outside body.
Can you become independent, Madam Shin?
Yeah. If I resign from the party, sure.
So independence is determined by your affiliation. So you can't think independently as Madam Shin. You are always thinking alongside. Is that what you mean?
Chair, at the moment I am a Member of Parliament representing a political party. I am beholden to them in terms of the constitution of the country. So obviously the constitution of the country comes first, then the demands of my political party. Should I resign from the political party, my allegiance is to the constitution. unquestionably. So I wouldn't actually have, I wouldn't have a split loyalty there.
Says who?
I say.
No, it's not true. Look, it's not true. I can resign today from being a member of the ANC, active member of the ANC, but being the ultra operator for that party without holding a position. So I think it's, I don't agree with that view. I think we are missing a very important point. I can, because question of independence, it's more a question of objective. You see, I am a member of parliament here. I don't take cue from the ANC. No, don't. I use my own brains, my own mind, reading what the law says, the constitution says, and present that view. I don't push a ANC political position. I think, I mean, that's me. But it's fine. I'm not, I don't want us to create an impression that by virtue of the fact that you are a member of the DA, therefore you should be excluded because you will be pushing a DA. No. And that's where oversight mechanisms and regulatory measures come in to guide you. I mean, I did hear people arguing, for instance, saying that, for instance, the Auditor General should not meet the President. That was the DA saying, because you are going to be influenced, because he's a member of the ANC. I mean, you should be in a position to meet the President of the DA and the President of the ANC and still come and express your view. And that's what we call independence. Doesn't mean because I visited your house tomorrow and then the next day, well, I had meal with you in your house, and then tomorrow I'm going to lose my mind. And that's... But anyway, let's come back to the clause.
Sorry, Chair. It's important. You mentioned members of a political party. We're talking about office bearers. Very important distinction between the members of a party and the office bearers of a party.
They are the same. The one is holding an office. You hold an office by virtue of being a member. It's just smaller promotion. The line is the same. You belong. You
have responsibility completely.
Well, they are the. You are holding an office. That's the only difference. But your line of thinking is the same. It doesn't change your thinking. It's just that you have a title. A tie, you are a chairman, you sit in the front, and others can sit anywhere. It's a title. It means like saying, you are better because you are a chairperson of the committee, you are better than Sotheby's because Sotheby's is an ordinary member. No. It's you are just given a title and a position that you are holding temporarily. But it's fine. Let's not belabor those issues. But yeah, it's okay. Let's go back to the clause. We are saying an office bearer of or employee of a party. Now we are saying we must remove the registered with the IEC, Baba, Madam, because you were saying, I raised the issue of the SACP. They're not registered, so they're fine. And they are very junior than a branch, ANC branch member. Perhaps we should, I don't know, just make your final arguments on the matter. Convince us once and for all, madam.
Chair, I'm of the view that I would rather take the risk of a legal challenge from a politician saying that I want to be on this board and I'm being prohibited from being on the board, then take the multiple challenges that may flow with people saying that the board isn't independent. that's my own view. I've just quickly pulled up on my LexisNexis other legislation that has similar clauses, and there is a string of legislation. As I said, Chair, it's included in all of our establishments of these types of entities. I do agree that employees should be taken out. I don't think that, because employees are not necessarily members of that political party in which they are employed. The same way we are employed in Parliament doesn't mean that if you're an employee of Parliament, automatically you are a member or a supporter of the ruling party or of any other party. You are just here employed to do what it is that you are meant to do. So I'm happy to take out the employee and to leave it as an office bearer. I'm even willing to consider a full-time office bearer if the committee wants to go that far. In terms of what is a political party, I prefer when law is clear. So we know when we speak of a political party whether something is a political party or it isn't, which is why we added the Electoral Commission Act, because that makes it fairly easy to distinguish whether an organisation is a political party or not. In other pieces of legislation, Chair, they simply refer to a political party. You can't be an office bearer of a political party without defining what a political party is. And you could go to court and you could argue it. All this seeks to do is just to give some clarity to that. My personal feelings on the matter, Chair, is that it's safer to keep it in than to take it out. We can debate the format in which it must be retained, but that's my own view, Chair. I don't think that the constitutional right here of freedom of association or joining a political party is affected, because you don't have a right to sit on a board. Yeah. You have a right to join a party. No one here is stopping you from joining a party or being an office bearer in a party. So I think we're looking at it at the wrong angle, but that's my view, Chair. I'm happy to go with whatever the committee feels is best.
The employee is taken out and the clause remains intact.
Yeah.
Are we fine? Thank you. Enige iets wat achter bly? Madam Shin?
Yeah, just this is still referring to the Institute of the E-Skills is one, and the the document that comes with it talks about E-Skills Institute. And did we change the name? I mean, you know, on this version we've got digital.
National.
Yes, yeah, okay. But then this comes out and says it's still calling it the e-skills. I've considered the subject of the e-skills institute and referred and classified it, and now then the second line says presents the Ikamba digital bill. It says in here.
Sorry.
I'm just wanting to know what the process is. This notice that...
The tag.
Are you coming in, madam?
Yeah, I'll
be
just trying
to second. Thanks. Yeah. The mic?
Sorry.
Got a better question.
And so, Chair, what would happen now is that we would make this one or two final changes, and we'll ask CLEDA to put it in the CLEDA format so that it looks like an actual act, and then we do a report, and that report says we're adopting this bill in this new format that we have, and we can attach it to the report that would have the new name and everything else. And of course we have kept track versions of all the changes, but because there have been so many changes, instead of doing an A-list, because our A-list would be probably 50 pages, so instead of doing an A-list, we just do a brand new bill. But that would be in the report that we will assist Hajira in finalising, Chair. And that's when we do the clause by clause as well, based on the CLEDA version.
So next week or next round when we meet, we'll have that version, and then we'll go clause by clause. Am I fine? So that's now our volgende week. Prof.
Honourable Chairperson, may I just ask about two issues on page 7, if I may still. If one does track change acceptance on 4 subsection E, it disappears. So we just have to be make sure that point E doesn't disappear with track changes accepted. Okay, but then, Chair,
can we hear you what I'm saying? Just repeat what you've said.
No, if I do on the digital version I got, if I do a track change on that clause E, it's out.
And it's lower down, sir.
Is it?
It's now under subsection 2, C and D,
sir.
Yes.
Mm.
Oh, I see.
Oh,
I see. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, we'll come back to you.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
The next matter, if I may, it's about wording, and I know one shouldn't look in too much detail, but here it is, wording that is material. In clause 3B, page 7, clause 3B, the last few words, there one has the word demand for e-digital skills. In that case, the word is demand. But a bit later on, in clause 4B, identify the digital skills demands and supply needs. There it is about the technical term, of course, demand and supply. And demand and supply is a relationship between what is produced and what is required. So I don't think the word demands is the where the S is suitable here. It should just be demand and supply.
Yeah.
Because it's about that relationship, that balance between what you produce and what you require. So it's just a removal of 4B, the S of demands, please. But if it can be considered, yeah.
Chair, can I just check with staff, should
yeah.
we on 3B then also carry the word supply to that?
No, there it is specifically about demand.
Okay.
It's not about the balance of the
okay.
It's about the requirements of the country. That's the issue there.
You want to challenge the prof?
I mean, that's why I've been dropped.
There's a gentleman next to the
prof
who wants to come
earlier.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Now, this is, I think just clarification on 4.1e. The section was removed, but in the untracked change version, the E remains. So it looked at this is their space. So if we remove the section lower, just the E
okay.
must be deleted and the subsequent
yes.
numbering corrected.
Perfect.
Thanks.
Bye-bye, sir.
Thank you, Chair.
I don't know whether what I'm trying to say perhaps will be dealt with when we go line by line, but on page 6, under definitions, particularly of post-school education and training institution, there we're trying to specify which institutions the institute may have relationships with. I think we say the public college, and we're also proposing public, where it says in any higher education institution, to say in any public higher education institution. In other words, confining this kind of relationship to public colleges and universities.
Okay.
That would be one. On page 18, if I'm not mistaken, This is the new input on board committees, but on page 18, then it says the board must, then on 2B, it says determine, and then it lists these items that need to be determined. I just wish to say to determine at least or amongst others so that it allows for things which are not listed here also to be determined if deemed necessary.
Just where are you now?
On page 18.
Page 18.
That's on page 17, though, on board
okay.
committees. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. There's a 13.2 there, which says the board must. Then what A says assigning members to committees, but B then says determine terms of reference, composition, tenure, reporting, and dissolution, and so on. I'm just saying, to allow for other things we may not have anticipated now to be determined by the board, we include the phrase amongst others or at least, you know. that is that, and...
What is it that you want the board to determine? That you have not presented here? No, this is on a lighter note.
Thank you, Chair. And on page 19, this is section 14, 6, which talks about the quorum. Again, this is, could be something we deal with on a line by line, but it says that two-thirds of the members eligible to vote at that meeting. In discussing with some of the people, the feeling was how do you determine the members who are eligible to vote? The declaration of interest has not been done. You know, this is just before you start the meeting, and the view was that why don't we say just two-thirds of the total board members, you know, and then you take out the members eligible to vote at that meeting for quorum.
And what?
It's clear, Chair, you're saying two-thirds of the total board members, as opposed to this part which says two-thirds of the members eligible to vote at that meeting. That term may mean one thing today and something else the other day.
And what does the one that you are referring to mean?
The one that I'm proposing is the one that says two-thirds of the total board members.
Which includes your CEO and...
Those are board members, Chair, yes.
Who are eligible to vote.
Yes, they are eligible to vote, yes. But there are other members. You know, before the meeting starts, we must determine whether we have quorum or not.
Yeah.
Okay, We say, okay, there is two-thirds of us, we may proceed. But it may turn out that only one specific issue, there is a board member who is not eligible to vote because he or she has a conflict of interest. But you would have counted that person in determining the quorum to start the meeting. That is the technicality I'm trying to...
And what you say about that person, what will happen about his position when it comes to voting?
In my view,
on that matter,
on that specific matter, that person is not eligible to. In fact, he or she must recuse him or herself when
he's
that particular.
The board is not called.
So he's not eligible
to vote. Yes, that's correct.
But if that clause does not specify,
I'm not sure I'm following you, Chair. But let me try one more last time to explain this. When the meeting starts, we do not know who will be eligible or not eligible to vote on certain resolutions of the board or certain items for discussion for the day, just at the time where you determine quorum. That is whether the meeting should start or not. Yeah, so if you're saying it's members eligible to vote at that meeting, then whoever is there, until they declare they are interested, they are eligible to vote. It only becomes apparent when a particular matter becomes comes up for discussion that I am actually not eligible to vote. In fact, I cannot even participate on that discussion, so I have to recuse myself. Now, there's then the question there whether the quorum still stands or doesn't stand. It doesn't. So you would have compromised the two-thirds quorum requirement because you included me, who turns out, you know, when the meeting is in process, that I may not be able to exercise a vote. I hope I'm clear, Chair.
Adam? Yeah?
Baba?
Chair, help me to understand this. We've set a requirement in terms of this clause for a particular number of board members to make that board quorum. If a member then leaves and breaks that quorum because they're not entitled to participate in that, that's correct. Then the board is not quorum if that member leaves. Yes? So I don't see the problem with keeping this clause in. I think perhaps we should be guided by what other legislation says in terms of board quorum. and what would happen in terms of voting members. Ms. Fatima, could you guide us on that? But I would see this clause stay the way it is. Thank you.
Madam.
Chair, we'll certainly look at it again because I now have a concern that when we talk about members eligible to vote at that meeting, and if we have half of the members for whatever reason saying they have a conflict, that you could then still take a decision based on the majority of the remaining members. So we'll look at it again, Chair.
Yeah.
But we understand the principle, so that's fine.
Put. In the absence of any, the matter stand put, and we shall proceed. But next week, when you come back, you will come with a copy that is done that thing that you are referring to. Okay. Thank you very much, madam. I guess, yeah, that's where we will end our discussion on the matter for today. Then we shall continue with the next matter. You want a 5-minute break?
Mm-hmm.
Stretch legging break?
Thanks, Chair. I need to read the moderately prosperous society. Ever since Trump built his wall, he obviously modeled it on the Great Wall. When he built his wall, now China's only moderately prosperous in all respects and strive for great success of socialism with Chinese characteristics for a new era. Don't you love this stuff? You can actually sing it.
Well, I don't know.
And she gives it to a liberal. I mean, really.
The more committing a telco.
With Chinese characteristics.
Okay.
That's a new
okay.
With Chinese characteristics.
You know what is that?
Capitalism, yes.
Oh, okay.
But just with a strong central command of the economy. Yes. And the cyber war, the great Chinese firewall. They're now called these things.
I'm putting in another key.
The translation of this bill.
We've got a translation in Tonga already, but that's
from where?
From
Because don't you think
I thought that we could do translation?
Let's check it.
The version we've got translated, I mean, like what? 17
versions. Yeah. I'll speak to them because we may have to translate it now because of the advertising in Turkey.
Sorry.
Does it bang open?
For you.
Cheers, cheers.
Something that we couldn't even analyze.
Let's start with the report. Just that, not because we don't have the advantage of advanced technology here. I'm going to struggle.
Take yourself.
Putimba. No, I don't use paper. You know, I'm from certain environment from Mpumalanga. I come from a province.
You got lots of trees.
Where you go to Niem. Those trees are there to give you fresh air in the Western Cape and Johannesburg. Because Johannesburg and now they've got beautiful trees. It's the biggest man-made forest in the world. Mr. McCain, well done.
And it's being eaten by foreign birds.
Madam Shin behave.
No, the trees in Joburg are the threat.
Who's eating them?
Some little
borer bug.
Is that so?
Yeah.
No, it's evil.
They live up.
Up to the trees.
To the trees.
Oh, shame. Poor trees.
Yes.
So that's why I must save the Mpumalanga trees more. We'll supply them with oxygen down there.
That's a beautiful province there.
I agree. You see, you are a superstar. We are going to start with Madam Shin's inputs. I was saying to Hajira, or in my response that I wrote, Sisi, just grab a chair here. Just sit on any of these chairs.
Yes.
Please, don't sit at the back when we are so empty. Just pretend as if you are a member.
Mentally empty or physically empty.
Come join the DA.
Don't join the DA. It's not a safe party to be in. They will partition delete you. Let's start with Madam Shin's input. I was saying, yesterday something went wrong with my gadgets, and I don't know. Oh, no. I was not having. You see, these small things, they are supposed to be advanced, but they can also be backward in a way.
Okay.
So I did not benefit from Madam Shin's input until this morning, but neither did I share my input. But we will try and walk through Madam Shin's inputs, and then we will come to what I had picked up if it had not been dealt with. Yes, madam.
What's up? Can you go through the inputs page by page?
Yes.
Okay.
Order no. Oh, okay.
The same input.
Okay. You want us to go
page by page.
Yeah. And then we will arrive at my machine. Okay, yeah. You're right. You're correct. Thank you for the advice. We are going to work on our report. And thank you, Rajira,
for the work. It's quite a beautiful report, quite comprehensive. We're going to start with page one. I'm just paging up. Baba Mackenzie, are you ready?
I am, sir.
Okay. I'm going to Colatse number Ian on top.
So, Chair, just to be concurrent, we're working off the issue that has Madam Shin's changes on it. Is that correct?
Or the original?
Madam Shin has made certain few changes, but there we will arrive at them when we arrive there.
So we're working off the
So
original.
We're working on the original. Yeah.
If you come
in, do a mission. Okay. Like I said, sorry? Are we going to get lost? Why? How?
You see, when you get generally,
you
say, oh, there's a change.
Machine
will change. It's all clear. So we can either leave it out or we can.
No, she will speak to it.
Okay.
What we will do, you don't have the original.
No.
I
have the machine. Those changes which we did.
You see, the problem is I did not see Madam Shin copy.
Okay, would you like to send you both quickly?
It's not going to help me now. Madam Shin's issues are on the original document. So I have the original document. So
the
what we will do... Sorry, ma'am.
The underlined one, the original machine. Yeah.
What we will do... Because if we can do one of two things. How many amendments does Mr. Madam Shin have?
A lot of them are type-setting things that can be changed. And I think at the end of the recommendations, there are a lot of you know, like they started every bullet point with ensure that. You know, so I just put at the top of it, ensure that. And then took all of that out of the other documents. If you have a look at sort of like the end aspect. Yeah, so those are just sort of tough sitting more than
that. How much? Expensive?
No, there are quite a lot of those. I mean, it doesn't
okay.
It doesn't alter the meaning of the document.
Let's look at the substantive
issues.
Perhaps what we may need to do. You've got Madam Shin's document.
Yes.
Let's then work on Madam Shin's document, which I don't have. I have it. No, I didn't have it. I did not go to it. Because I only saw it now this morning. So I have worked on my original document, but now for progress purposes, let us work on Madam Shin's document. Having gone through her document, then let us listen to what other members have picked up. They may not have submitted it to Ajera, same as me. And then, in other words, we will then use Madam Shin as a... If this document is complete, it's the original document where she made certain changes, be they technical or substantive, we'll discuss with them. I mean, we'll discuss them. then technical will just say, okay. Okay? Yeah. But I will have to work through two documents because I had done some, although most of it technical, but yeah, I'll have to check as we go through. Page number one. Here. Page number two. Now, what I had raised, which runs through the document, I had raised certain things. For instance, they start on page number two, where you have P triple R, B triple R, and others, B double R report. Now, these two words are used interchangeably, and they mean the same thing. You're right. Now, I was saying we should use one standard. Otherwise, we have not qualified what B double R report means. It means, in other words, it seems like we speak about something else when you say B triple R, and we're saying something else by B double R report. So, I was just saying we need to use the standard feature, either B double R report or B triple R. But B triple R has become popular, so we stick with the B triple R.
The convention is that you spill it out in full the first time,
yes,
and then you put your B triple R, and
exactly,
thereafter, throughout the rest of the document,
B triple R. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Good. So you will use your spell checker to sort that matter out, Hajira. Page 2 and page 3, same thing. Page 4. Page 5.
Chair,
yes,
page,
sir.
On page 4.
Sorry, Chair, like you, I also I looked at this yesterday, but I saved my changes for today. The last paragraph at the bottom, third line, and it's entities which were. You've got a colon. You should put a space after that colon. It's just a technical thing, but there.
Where is
it? On the third line, on the last paragraph, on page 4, in the middle, and it's entities which were colon, and then there should be a space there.
Okay.
Thank you.
Perhaps, on what is this page, John? I missed something on page 3. Medium term is normally medium dash term, right? That's how it's written.
But isn't it a midterm?
No,
medium term.
Medium term.
Medium term by budget, yeah. So it's medium dash term. So everywhere where it appears, this is how is done. So it's a technical issue. And this one is actually also a technical, and I don't know how members feel. For instance, on your page 3, you see your second paragraph? At the end, the last but one line, it says, where a weight is taken into account. Well, it's there's nothing wrong about it, but this thing is a small thing. I'm not growing younger,
remember.
And that's why I must stick to my technology. It's the last of one line on page 3, on second paragraph, that is that. Taking into account. I don't know whether considering does not read better. I know it's the same thing. Taking into account, considering, but it's fine. We don't mess up with documents. It's fine. I thought considering would have been, but it's okay. It's not a crisis.
Now, methodology, just a question of clarity from my side. Page number 4. The annual reports of the department, the annual reports of the department and all entities except Dr. Zetna were submitted to the speaker, assuming by the entity in terms of... So Dr. Zetna did not submit. Is that what we are saying? But I found it in my...
No, it
didn't. I found it in my desk.
Maybe 10 late.
So I don't understand the statement because when we write it like this, it will create an impression that it was not submitted, but it's there, it has been there. The only problem with it was not properly bound. It's not.
So
it doesn't have a nice bounding.
They don't have any money for this.
We've encouraged them to produce that check.
In that way.
Yeah.
Well,
that
money on overseas
yes.
level rather
yes.
than
you.
Very happy that they did that check. Very, because the stakeholders were so few for the annual report that to use spot varnish and printing, what a waste of money.
Yeah, man. That's your final document. It goes international. Even Trump must read that thing. He will trade this one in the dustbin.
No, Chair, it's got all the must support. Really, I would like to praise Dr. Adna for the production of that annual report. Praise
no. You can only say it if you're coming from Gauteng. That's why they don't allow you to participate in the board. come and sit here, all of you. Shalanda, I don't see you. Hold on. But anyway... We are deleting that Dr. Zetna, but on the same paragraph, shouldn't we indicate that we actually even met today? The meetings were to do what?
Correct.
Even today is still a meeting to deliberate on that thing. I mean. Yeah, so just 9, 10, and 17, and 22, I think that's only fair.
23.
Is it 23 today? Okay. And then the next clause, that's what Madam, what do you call, Mackenzie has raised. We are fine.
We are one day when I propose marriage to you, you must understand why.
I will cut tell you. No, you can't propose a marriage to a man.
If you call me madam,
okay. This is not. This is not somewhere in Mozambique. There is somewhere in Mozambique where they allow women to propose marriage to. Actually, they don't even propose there. You arrive there, you park your car, you go
they
in
take
with
the key.
No, madam, you know what they do? They take your bag, your luggage bag. In the morning when you wake up, all your clothes are wet on the fence there, on the dry line. Very wet. But they remain wet for the whole day. They never get dry. Make sure that you are left like this, you'll never get out of the house. They'll just bring food for you. They are horrible. Okay, page 5. Is this number? You and Madam Shin? Yes, with your small print. Baba? Page? Oh, sorry.
Thank you, Chair. On page 5, the first bullet point, the 2017 State of the Nation address, you've written it as capital S, lowercase o, N-A. If you're going to apply that convention, can you then apply it throughout the document with a small o? Because you'll see you spell Sona out later on in the document with right the way through as capital S, O-N-A.
Well, you wanted to come in, sir.
Thank you, Chair.
Which is the correct thing?
I would say a small one, or no, yes, a small one, a small. So capital S, lowercase O, capital N A.
So this is the right way.
Yes, but then you must follow that convention throughout the document. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you. You can, Madam. When I said to Dr. PT, I meant everyone.
Welcome.
And then the next page. What page is this? Where? What is during the 2017? What is this? Okay, we are now here. Is that now where we have changes? Is that Madam Shin's technical changes? Did you tell? Now, Igamba.
Page 7.
That act. What is the correct word now?
The act, digital skills, national digital skills. They're taking the national, I don't know.
Igamba National. What is the proper name?
Well, you know, this document says they've taken the national. Yeah, so we've taken national out of the headline, the title of the bill.
So, is that now the name?
Digital.
Yeah, national, we agree that we are taking national out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so yeah.
So, take him out. Is that how the bill will be at the conclusion? Eh?
Yeah.
Make sure. And then the next aspect is that there was no response to the invitation calling for Igamba. What is this now?
Well, Chair, the original statement said extensive public hearings were held and the consultation is nearing conclusion. No public hearings were held because no one responded to it. So that's why I've then written that and spelt out what's happened with the other bills that are before us.
I now see, Chair, what you're referring to in terms of the original document, because one is not sure what is being corrected here. But I was also reading from the gadget, but now I'm lost here in terms of the numbering.
Oh, okay.
So you cannot argue because you don't remember the first wedding.
No, it's actually not the... She's raising a concern that how the document is crafted was that there was extensive hearing. But
yeah,
now the problem is...
But that's actually incorrect.
Yes.
That's actually incorrect. There were no public hearings.
Yes.
And the document said extensive public hearings were held.
There
that's
was
wrong.
No response to invitation to a public hearing for Igamba Bills or the community. There were only four submissions. There were only four submissions to the hall for whatever, and the committee proceeded to process the bill. And then invitations have gone out. That's how the Igamba did. Igamba,
yeah.
Yeah, invitations have gone out for the public comments on the electronic communication with a deadline for written submissions that the committee has not yet engaged with the postal. Yeah. No. We have not received the postal.
It has been tabled. Oh, it was
no. Has it been tabled?
It was tabled for public comment at the end of last
no.
year.
By who?
No.
We don't have that bill.
I mean, I've got a copy of it.
I don't know how you got it.
I don't know. Because it was ATC.
When was it ATC?
I don't know now. But the three of them came out. I mean, I've got a copy of it, yeah. Let me have a look.
Was it?
I know there's only two bills that come to us.
So that's still with the government. No, you got it from the government.
From?
No, it's not.
Postal Services Amendment Bill.
So it was more there, even from there.
Just hang on, I saved it here. This is the Government Gazette of November. And signed by Dr. Twelly.
For comment.
This is to provide written comments, yeah.
Sorry?
Yeah.
So it's not with us?
No, it's not with us.
So let's remove the whole thing there. Let's stick with the two bills.
Yep, but hang on, Chair. You see, the thing is that the sentence before that...
The one on top.
...says, Cabinet approves the publication of the public bill for public comment, Electronic Communications Amendment Bill, Post Office Service Amendment Bill, and the Encumber Bill. Okay. So what I was just putting in there is saying that we haven't actually done anything with it. We haven't engaged with it at all.
It has not been tabled.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You see,
so
because it's mentioned earlier in the paragraph.
I think the paragraph here...
You can take it out of the paragraph if you like.
We must rework the paragraph and just refer to the things that have come to us.
Okay. So then it'll just be the Electronic Communications Amendment Bill and the Encumber.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And take the postal services out altogether.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then, are we fine?
Yeah.
There's something on 5.22? What is that?
Yeah, convention is, Chair, that when the numbers are less than 10, we use the word for the number, like 10 or, 8, 9, we write out the word. From 10 upwards, we put the figures.
Is that so?
Yeah.
Do you get that done, Munchie?
Hmm?
Where do you get that thing?
It's part of my training from back in the dark ages.
Right.
Is it now the DA political education?
No, no, no,
English. Right. No, no, my training is in newspapers and publications. And that is the standard process in English publication.
Are you a
journalist?
You are a journalist?
Hmm.
Why? Okay, thank you. I didn't know that. Thank you for the education. Baba Mackenzie, now are you a journalist as well?
Well.
No, Chairperson, but I am an editor. I publish a magazine called The Poultry Bulletin, just for fun. It's actually ended now, but there we are. She's dead right, Chairperson. We spell out below 10, we spell out the numbers. Thank you.
You see, because I did Bantu education, I don't have these things in. You see the problem that you created?
Who?
You.
No, not me, Chair.
Okay, you are not part of them.
Uh-huh.
Okay, good.
You're
forgiven.
Thank
you.
Do you have a dispensation against what you can...
He says where 9 is written as 9, you must change it to 9 as in
any number below 10.
So we are now only getting education in China. You see?
Oh, wow.
What they gave us.
When 9 is over 10,
yeah. You are responsible for...
You can't say 9.
All of us is errors. You did it yourself. You wanted to be more educated than us.
5.2.2.
Okay, colleagues, let's move fast.
Okay.
Yes, Father.
Page 8.
Page 8.
No,
Sona
no,
will change.
Oh.
Yeah? Oh, sorry.
Thank you, Chair. Just on page 7, the last paragraph, 5.2.3, second line. The ICT SMME development, then there's a space, and then strategy has got a capital S. I don't think if it's part of the title, then yes, it should be capitalized, but that dash is a problem. Thank you, Chair.
Do you remember dash? There's a dash 5.2.3. That dash is so small now you can't see. Thank you, Baba
Kenzie.
Yes. Page, the next page. Can you change it? Where am I? Okay. Page 5.3.1. There's a change there. Sona must be properly written with that new invention of Mr. McKenzie. They say that's how we write it. I write it all like equal.
The government does do that, didn't it?
That has been the case in the previous sauna, that's it. The president...
Yeah.
What is that, what do you say?
Chair, if I can help here. The sentence read, State of the Nation put more emphasis on information ICT, but it didn't say more than what, so I put in then what. I'm saying it put more emphasis on information, well, ICT, than has been the case in previous owners because of its potential to revitalize the country.
Why is it with the qualification?
Because you need to say more than what? More than a comparative term. Let's put more emphasis on more than what?
We'll just change it to emphasize.
All right, we'll just put emphasize, and that's fine. We'll clear that out.
So take out more emphasis and put emphasize. Because I think Honorable Shin's saying,
yes.
If you say more emphasis...
I get you. So let's put it that he emphasized...
Emphasize ICT's in potential to revitalize the country's economy.
Yeah.
Cut all the rest of it out.
Not more.
Yeah.
Sorry, yeah.
That's fine.
You remove that, you remove the more. The president emphasized.
Yeah.
Or
yeah. Emphasized ICT.
ICT.
That's fine.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we leave ICT.
Yes. And then the next item, I mean the next paragraph, which is second paragraph, there's a sauna thing.
Yeah.
According to the latest, what do you call? Yes, now that it is qualified, just sauna no more, the name, but also with that taking what Mr. McKenzie has raised. The next paragraph on page 9, which is Madam Shin, the last paragraph before 5.4, I mean before 5.5.
That was just putting in sauna, taking out the whole name.
Okay, that's fine.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank
you, Chair. The same paragraph. At the same time, the National Development Plan and the comma. 2017, so maybe remove that comma after the. Thank you, Chair.
The same correction.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you saw that.
Mm.
That was now page number 9.
Yeah.
Page number 10. Before 5.6, what happened?
Yes.
5 point, just the underpinning factors before 5 point, at the end of 5.5, just achieve these objectives, instead of these objectives, just an S there. Are you fine, Chief?
DA policy.
And it's about and then you deal with the medium term issues. Shall we proceed to the next page? I just want to understand something here. On 7, not page 7, but on item number 7, the last bullet. On page number 13.
13 or 11?
15.
Number 13? You have something on 11? The page number 13, yes. The last bullet before paragraph 8. I just want to understand, it's more understanding than anything else. That way we think that all managers who undertake project management courses at the expense of the department are held accountable should they fail or leave the employee. What are we saying here? Where is this coming from?
I agree. Take it out, please.
Let's take it out. And then take out even the recommendation, the other side. It's an observation. What is it? Where is it coming from?
So we take out the
committee. I don't. What does it say? What does it say?
I think, if I can take us forward. I think what we were trying to say here was that any employee or any managers who undertake project management courses and then they finish the course and then they leave the company and go work for someone else,
I think that's what we were saying. Are held accountable perhaps for reimbursement or for payment of the court. I think that's what we were trying to say. But the way it's worded is very, very poor, Chair, and I think it should come out.
Let's talk about it more. Yes, Anna?
Yes, Chair. Is it only for this project management cost or any cost that they
have? That's
the
motive.
Okay. We are better without it. The next page is page 15, according to mine, 44, just ahead of the chapter, ahead of A. Can you stop section A? Ahead of the table. The last paragraph ahead of the table, that is now on page 14. There is line number 3. That starts with in the media, the department could not secure partners for the digital economy as such engagement. That's a spelling mistake, and corrected. Engagement.
Chair, I don't see that. Are we talking about
first
page
line.
14?
Page 14, first line.
Oh, right. Okay.
Page
right, up there. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
The third line.
For the department.
Yes. Are we fine?
Chair, just to put this one on 13 about the managers, can you come back to it when you're done? Because you've always asked the conditions of the loans, the bursaries, what are the conditions? Maybe to rework it.
Let's not limit it in the report. Let's discuss it as a matter.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's discuss it as a matter. It's a policy matter.
Oh.
Yeah. Shall you record it so that you discuss it at some point? Volgende baan, bladzijn. Madame Shin on page 15, starting with where you have Madame Shin, just look at your corrections, whether they are fine.
Starting the merger of NAMISA. The eSkills Institute.
Yes.
And that's one, okay. Yeah, I put in the digital there. Obviously, we need to take out the national.
Yeah.
And then in the next line, I've talked duplication gaps in digital skills development rather than eSkills development.
Yeah, perfect.
Okay.
And then at the end?
Supporting the rollout of... Well, you see, the hassle is that digital migration, the whole program seems to be changing, and we're not quite sure about it. So what I've said is... over the medium term, the department will focus on ongoing rollout of the department's broadband policy, supporting the rollout of broadcasting digital migration, finalising the amendments of the Electronic Communications Act for deliberation of Parliament before this Parliament's term ends, and the finalisation of legislation to establish the Institute.
What is the thing?
Well, it just said that... tabling ICT white paper. We've done more than that. The department's done more than that.
Okay, this is for the department. It's fine. I don't have issues with it. Although I have issues.
The department tabled the white paper last year or 2 years ago. And what has happened in the past year is the actual legislation is now rolling.
So, we would delete it.
Papa Mackenzie, Mama, stop it.
You say we delete it from?
No.
And, in the same process,
the white paper, and that was the link of letters. We didn't get the white paper about 2 years ago.
Well, the question, that's not the question.
2017, yeah. What I'm saying is we're talking about the report from last year.
No, that's
the
not the question.
White paper done and dusted last year. We're now actually dealing with the legislation arriving from the white paper, which is the act, the bill.
That's not the question she's raising. What was the question?
I will not write him white paper and just let us W and P.
We take it out.
Where is this thing that we're talking about now?
It was taken.
The last line. Page 15.
Okay. So it's gone. No, no, but it's gone.
Okay.
So, yeah. So it's... The following page?
Yeah.
Baba.
Chair, on page 15, the second paragraph from the top, last line, ICT enterprise development, if you can capitalize development, then the following paragraph, Honorable Shin's corrections, second last line of that paragraph, Parliament is spelt with an R at the end instead of a T. Have you got it, Ajira?
Yeah.
That's it. Thank you, Chair.
I need glasses. Okay. Development. What? Just start where you started, sir?
Sorry, sir. The
second paragraph on page 15, last line, increase in the budget of the ICT enterprise and development. If you're going to capitalize oversight and enterprise, you might as well capitalize development.
Okay.
Huh?
All right.
And then you got the spelling of Parliament in the next paragraph, second last line. Thank you.
The next page.
Just a small one, however.
Yes.
Okay, just a small one. Second line. That's the comma after however.
Okay. Yep. Now we share is Lou.
Sometimes
you
change
the meaning. Okay. No, right. Then from there, oh! Shall we move to the next paragraph or whatever? Next line? I mean, next page, sorry.
Okay.
Nothing on page 17? Nothing on page 18? Next page? Nothing on page 19. No. Now, you see on page 19, human resources there, sub-paragraph 10, because I can see that you
said paragraph 10.
Yeah. Page 20 on top. On page?
Yes, 20.
Human resources. Now, it's written there, the department has approved the service delivery model. Now, the next line, it says finalized yet aligned to the SDM. I assume SDM is service delivery model, right? So when you did your first one, then you must put it in paragraph SDM in order for you to use the SDM for your phone. Such a technical thing. You follow each other, right?
And then you want to talk about the COE budget.
Sorry?
The COE budget.
What allocated COE?
These positions will be filled by the end of the financial year in line with the allocated COE budget. What's the COE budget?
What is the COE? Okay.
No,
that COE we must go check with you. And that online is in line.
In line, yeah.
So we have two Sanjay last.
The CEO will go and check it.
Okay.
CEO, if we are in visa.
Conditions of employment?
Something to that. Rather write it, if it is the condition, because it is the condition. Just write the condition of employment and remove the CEO.
Oh.
And don't put the CEO in. Can you collect that one on the sub item 11.1.1, the financial, not the financial, not financial, before we get into the SAPO, you see that thing here, and then let's Madam Shin, is that you?
Yeah, I was just putting in semicolons at the end of the sentences.
Is this supporting? Okay, these are fine. I think these are fine. Again?
Thank you, Chair. Just the first paragraph on page 21. Second last line, including Postbank's universal service obligations. Now, Postbank, as I understand it, doesn't have a universal service obligation. It's the post office that has a universal service obligation. And I'm certainly open to correction here.
I did look at it as well, and I thought about it. But even the post office, we said, is not universal. We changed it to public.
That's the public service mandate that they're talking about. But the Act talks about a universal service obligation.
Yeah, we must change that Act.
But not...
But
it's not Postbank, it's SAPO.
I agree.
So can we change, including SAPO?
Can you deal with it? Do you have it?
Thank you, Chair. Then under point 11.1, the second line, performance and cost-cutting measures... We put an S at the end of measure. Then on the next line, 11.1 on page 21, the first SAPA received an unqualified audit opinion. It's performance and cost-cutting measures.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. You'll let
then the next line, irregular expenditure declined. Put a D after the E.
Yes.
And then skip the next one onto the third bullet point. There's been an addition, is spelt incorrectly.
Yeah, there's addition.
Yeah, that's it, Chair. Thank you.
Moi. And then can we proceed? 11.2. Okay. This one has been corrected. Page 22, there are corrections, ma'am. Baba Mackenzie?
Thank you, Chair. The first paragraph, the third line. This includes, I put an S after include.
Where are you?
I'm on page 22. After the first bullet point, that first paragraph that begins during the adjustment budget, the third line in that paragraph, this includes investment in. So take out two and put in instead of two.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. And then moving down, Centec strategic goal, three main priorities. Centec and three main priorities. Have you got Centec strategic goals and the three main priorities for the 2016-17, I think you're saying financial year or... Are you with me? Thank you, Chair.
I've got something on the next line, can you pick up?
On the next line.
Yeah, the first bullet point, infrastructure rollout.
Wait a minute.
DTT network expansion.
What page?
Same page.
22.
Okay, yes.
DTT network, complete four, write out the word four, and greenfield doesn't need a capital.
Lowercase g.
What kind of blood thing?
Where are we now?
Page 23.
Are we down?
No, Chair.
Uh-huh. Are you fine? Yes, no problem, okay?
Thank you, Chair. Under 11.3, after the bold, the first line, the entity has been allocated a total of 280 for the funding, and then the next line, operations for digital broadcasting migration. I think if you can, because it's not digital broadcasting, it's
which
the migration. Page 23, under 11.3, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines down, beginning with operations and for digital broadcasting migration. If you can put in the word migration.
Okay.
Can I move on?
Yes, sir.
Then 1, 2, 3 lines down for that, towards the end, some of the deficiencies. Okay, are you with me?
Yes.
Then going down to the bullet points.
Mm-hmm.
If you can put a full stop on the fourth bullet point after statements. And then if you go up, sorry, to the point before after SEM processes, if you can put a semicolon there.
No, that's the last point. You put a comma.
And.
Okay, yeah, good enough. Put a comma there. Thank you, Honorable Shin.
Where do you put a comma?
After processes, SEM processes.
What about and?
No, you just put a comma before the and.
Okay.
And then the next paragraph, second line.
The next paragraph.
Yeah, that starts this. Page 23. This included monitoring and verifying the resolutions as carried out by the internal audit, which report regularly. And then that's it from our side. Thank you, Chair.
Now, where is the change?
This included monitoring as carried out by the internal audit, which report regularly. Sorry, this is why I raised it. The internal audit... Sorry, just to be clear, does the internal audit report to the Audit Risk and Compliance Committee? If it does, then we can just ignore that, Chair.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
We are still in page 23.
Yes, still page 23, just arguing the report.
24 now.
Are we on 24 now, Chair?
Yeah, what you're talking about is on 24. But it's fine, it's an electronic issue.
Okay, thank you, Chair, I'm done then for that.
You were talking about the
I'm just asking about the airline.
Yes, okay, on page, wait, just check this thing. There went on 11.3, there was two DDs left. Did you do that?
September movement.
Okay, good. And then the next page is page 24. There's nothing on page 24.
Yes, there is.
There's nothing on page, okay, something on 25. Set-top box kits. Okay, good. Where is this? On page 24. Fine. Skills, training. Madame?
Checking my correctness. Page 24, the last paragraph, first line. Is it in contribution to this broader mandate or in contribution to the broader mandate? The first line.
Okay. I think both of them are fine. Whether B or this is the same, because it's my entity to the department. That's my view, but
are we worried about the word broader? Because MISA was very much training for broadcasting skills, whereas ICAMVA is wider than broadcasting. So that's what we mean by the broader. Is that what you're querying? Why it's a broader mandate?
No, I was just checking if we say,
whether
in contrast to this broader mandate of, yeah, this or the broader mandate.
Okay. I think it's fine. I don't think there's any serious, there's no harm in whichever way you approach. So let's leave what we have. Thanks, sir. What's your view, madam?
No,
okay. The next one, 11.5. Page 25. Okay. Sorry? Oh. Let's check the page 25. The institute. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
I don't, you know, having highlighted that paragraph about Zimbili, which I see now is incorrectly spelled, but whether that needs to be in here at all, because his suspension of knowledge isn't pertinent to report of that, you know, it's not pertinent to issues being discussed. So can we just delete it rather than move it?
Yeah.
It's not even relevant to the answer.
You can remove it.
Yeah. Okay.
Expunge it.
Page 25.
Yeah.
Can we just get a sense of the first line of the last paragraph? The company's revenue target was not achieved. And the following sentence.
Sorry. Okay. Sorry.
What are we saying here? That is page 25, the first line of the last paragraph. That the company's revenue target was not achieved. What does the second sentence say?
It has achieved less than the target. It's 89.2 million. No, it could be rewritten. It could say the company's revenue target of 89.2 million was not achieved. Instead, it achieved 48.8 million.
So you have to rewrite it.
Rewrite it.
Yeah.
If you want to, but I mean, yeah, company's target is not achieved, but it did achieve 48
okay.
million.
If we say it's not achieved, but we achieved, I mean, there must be some kind of a qualification, because we say it was not achieved, but it managed. Either we say however, or we say something. We can't leave it like this.
The company's revenue target of 89.2 million was not achieved due to delayed sales in the billing cycle.
An amount of 48.
It's total sales amounted to 48.8 million.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, just rework that one. Then.
Page.
Can I add something on 25, please?
Yeah, remember
on which page?
Oh, it's resolution 25.
25
for sale.
The third line of that same paragraph, company at risk of liquidity has projected figures so possibility of loss making. Can you just change that to making a loss?
Is it 26 or 25?
25.
Of making a loss.
Thank you, Chair.
And the next page. 26, there is some technical changes made, which are fine. And then somewhere down towards the end, department by showing, as it is. What is it? Okay, it's fine. Yes, Baba McKenzie?
Thank you, Chair. At the top of the page...
on page 26.
Yeah, page 20, I think it's top of the page. BBI interventions are focused on two areas.
You know what, for you, you must not tell us about the page.
Okay. It's the sentence. Chair, the sentence starts BBI interventions.
Okay, it's in the middle of page 26.
Let me just move it down a bit.
No, it's fine, it's fine. Whether you stick with your.
Okay.
We'll always remind you that you are.
I've just put in a couple of spaces, Chair.
Okay.
That paragraph, the fifth line down. The company, are you with me? After expanded into previously underserviced areas. Replace the S with a D. So BBI interventions, starting there, that paragraph, then 1, 2, 3, 4 lines down.
While the same
will over time be expanded into the previously underserviced areas, so that's with a D. Then yes, then put a full stop at the end of that, then start it off, capital T, the company also participates. Just reads better. Then, Chair, just some clarity, please. The company also participates in the International Connectivity Project. Now, that says that there's one International Connectivity Project, because it's the International Connectivity Project. Now, I would imagine that there are a number of these International Connectivity Projects. So it's either the company also participates in an international connectivity project, participates in an international connectivity project, particularly the cable project that will connect South Africa to the United Kingdom along the west coast of Africa. I think then that reads correctly. Are you with me, Chair? Are you with me, Ajay? Then I've got one more.
Same page.
Yeah, same. I think it's same page. Under 11.6, CETA, the third line. The entity set 11 targets for the third quarter, but only managed to achieve one. It should be at once or one. Or two or three. Are you with me? Under 11.6, CETA, the third line of that first paragraph, under 11.6. The entity set 11 targets for the third quarter, but only managed to achieve one. So you must either put an H after once, or you must just make it one.
Yeah, it's one.
Thank you, Chair. Done?
But is it true that it's one?
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah.
Only in the third quarter.
Only that quarter?
Yeah.
That's a bad one to achieve on the third quarter. Normally on the third quarter, that's when you are pumping at your... Can we verify that information? Whether it is... Will you help us with the verification? So that we're sure that we're talking properly. Okay, Volkan and Basti? Baba.
Thank you, Chair. Under highlights for the 2017-18 financial year, are you with me?
Yes.
The first bullet point, the entity has inserted 8 preferential procurement clauses.
Yes.
The next bullet point.
Number 3.
The entity launched an, that should be SMME. an SMME readiness program to equip SMMEs. Mm-hmm. Okay? So we take off the F after SMME. Then the next line, CESA employs 81 interns in software development in an effort. That must be an E instead of an A. Mm-hmm. And then the following line, CETA awarded 75 of its employees with bursaries to increase its skills. Put an S after the skill. And that's done on that page. Thank you, Chair.
Employees.
No, overall employee satisfaction is fine. Yeah. Sorry?
Yeah.
What is it, Madam?
It's fine to say employee satisfaction. Overall employee satisfaction is fine.
Employee satisfaction.
No, no,
we're
saying that
the
collect about that one.
But the CETA awarded 75 of its employees, yes, I beg your pardon.
Yes. Are you done? You must be thinking of the next page, page 28, nothing to report. Page 29. Am I right? Okay, there are just technical, okay, there are issues here of money on page 29, which Madam Chin has raised. The money. Okay, what is the correct? Can you speak?
Shin, I asked Eric because he drafted this. He wrote to me the under expenditures 273.834 million.
So the I need to put a point there. Sorry? It said it's 273.834 million.
Yeah,
but the figure I'm looking at is 2,284.
No, I'm looking at the original document here, under D, expenditure management. No, there's two figures, Ms. Shen. The first one was your material
underspending that you wanted. Yes, okay, yeah.
So that
you
one...
You had to put in a million there.
Yeah, full stop, if that's correct.
Yeah. Okay.
And then in terms of your expenditure management,
mm-hmm.
Is 228,000.
Mm-hmm.
So it's correct.
228,000.
Yeah.
Madam Shin, you wanted 200 million?
I mean, yeah, it's, I mean, sometimes they put the three north and sometimes they don't.
I
don't
know.
So
what happens when you destroy political office there is...
Yeah, well.
Thank you.
Well, I'm Jim. Well, I'm Jim. We are on page 30. Page 30 has got 15 in the middle. For sake of our agenda. Wait, just 1 second. On page, just before that, just the page before, where there is B and C, we just check if it's properly started. Annual financials, the line number 3, that's 20. How do you spell contingent?
How do you spell
contingent?
Contingent, there's a missing an N.
Yeah, well spotted.
Sorry?
Yeah, you're right.
Contingent.
Contingent, yeah.
On page 29, annual financials, line number, the last, second line at the end. That contingent. Yeah, the spelling is
N.
Yeah. And then C, that minimum, that minimum. That line there was the N. And then the 400 block sale. Which where in half in the middle there's a stating with a report, nothing to report. The next page, which is page number 31. Baba Mackenzie.
Thank you, Chair. I hope we're on the same page. It's the arrowed bullet points. Is that correct?
Yes.
Then the bullet point 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10th bullet point.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Mitigating factors revolve around the signing. There's an I missing. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Shall we go back to bullet number... How many bullets are you? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You're dealing with page what?
21.
Okay. It's a mitigating factors.
Yeah.
Just the one about the same mitigating. That's the only, what were you saying, Mama Mackenzie?
Mitigating factors revolve around the signing.
The signing, yes.
Of the new contract.
And then is around properly? Mm-hmm. Because mine wasn't?
Yeah.
Oh, Madam Sheen had dealt with it. And then the next bullet. On BDI, which is the next page. Baba Mackenzie?
Same as your point, a going concern.
Okay.
Space between the A and the G.
And then do the last one, the next word, Baba Mackenzie?
So, Chair, can I just ask why the formatting of the bullets changed?
Yeah, you don't have to be arrogant. Please just stick with the bullets, the round bullets. And not arrow, not from arrow.
So are these meant to be sub-bullets?
The
following root causes must be addressed.
Are they from the bullet? Okay, they are from the bullet. It's a smaller bullet of the bullet.
No, those are smaller bullets, but if you go up to the bullet points previously, those should be either arrowed or bulleted.
So the arrow is a more important bullet than a bullet.
Okay.
I didn't say this. Baba Mackenzie.
I'm saying, Chair, the semicolon does indicate it's a sub item of this bullet.
Yeah, his query. Come on, Baba Mackenzie.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Yeah, you're quite right. The bullet point, you'll see there's an arrow next to the bullet point on BBI at the top of the page. I think it's number bullet point 11.
Mm-hmm.
Then bullet point 12 should also be an arrow, and 13, and 14, and 15. Then 15 below bullet point 15 is then indented with sub bullets. So that is correct, those sub bullets. Mm-hmm. But am I clear? Chair, am I making myself clear?
It's no good, I see.
Ah, sorry. So,
do you understand?
Yeah. Are you with me, Hattie? No. So if we look at where the bullet starts on SAPA, on the previous page, on SAPA and then brackets the material uncertainty.
Mm.
So we have all arrowed bullets all the way down, bullet 10, then onto my next page, bullet 11 is arrowed,
yeah.
Then bullet 12 is not arrowed, but it should be arrowed. It should be the same bullet because it's not a sub. Bullet of any of those. And then under the following root causes, those are correctly sub-bulleted. But if you formatted it appropriately, you would have standard bullets instead of the arrows all the way down to the following root causes, then it's correct. So if you just changed from bullet point 1 to 11, if you just changed those bullets to those arrows to bullets, you would be correct in your formatting.
So
change the first 11 arrows to bullets, and then you'll see the arrows under root causes, those are fine, because those are sub-bullets.
Please visit Hajira and help her, not now.
After.
Yes, otherwise, what finish? On BPI, that bullet on page, are we on page 22? That assessment? Has it been corrected?
It's a going concern.
Going concern. Yeah, just a correction.
Yeah, this one.
Small correction. BPI is ongoing concern.
Yeah, that we've dealt with already. Assessment. And then the next page, there's something there. What page are we studying?
33.
There are technical corrections here.
Yeah, the 14 and the 17.
Those bullets.
What about them?
Are we fine? Yeah. And then the next 14 and 17.
Yeah.
What is that?
We said don't need to spell out 14 and don't need to spell out 17.
Oh. Yo, it just looks sad. It's not sad. Okay.
Okay. So, Chair, again, I'm not sure if we're on the same page, but just above point 14, summary of the BRRR process, that last bullet point, mechanisms to ensure that financial and performance reporting
were not
implemented.
Yes.
Or as not implemented.
Were not
implemented.
She, Madam, she had dealt with it.
She did. Thank you, Chair.
Are we... Are we on course?
Sorry, Chair. Excuse me, Chair. On the same point, if you read it from the bullet point, the following key commitments by the Minister, which were slow or in progress, should be addressed. Mechanisms to ensure that financial reporting were not implemented. Okay, sorry, Chair. It's fine.
Sorry. Thank you. Right. Summary of BRRR process. Where is Polanyana issues? Technical. The problem of buffering.
Chair, sorry, can I?
Yep.
Okay, now this is on. No, but hang on a second. On page 34, which is now on my screen, here's the third bullet point starting, the committee noted effective and appropriate steps were not taken to prevent irregular expenditure. Now, I have added in there, you see, when it came, this amount of 228,000, it came with two noughts at the end of it. So I just assumed that they had left out the naught. But obviously what they were doing was saying that those were cents. If the figure is right, that it's 228,000 the regular expenditure.
Yeah.
Okay, so we cross out those three last noughts.
You're right. Okay, Madam General, you must just remove those double noughts. Oh, yeah. But the beautiful section in Mama Shin.
Technology.
This one was not technology, it was you. your technology. That's great. And then, page 34.
34,
we are on page 34 and now moving over to 35. There are corrections here, technical corrections. Can we... Madam,
yeah.
Are you an English expert?
Well, I've definitely...
That's the only language you speak.
Yeah.
Okay. just for my comfort, the last bullet leading to, I mean, the last part, one bullet leading to the last bullet on 14.1. The department noted that this matter falls under the ambit of the Department of Communication and Education. Obviously, that's one. It's one and the same bullet. That thing it must be one.
Yeah, I moved it into one.
You moved into one. But the noting, the noting doesn't sound like appropriate English for what we are talking about.
Department said, reported.
Yeah, rather. Yes. The department said or reported indicated.
Yeah, that this matter.
Yes.
Falls under the Department of.
Yes.
Commerce.
Good. So you will. Yeah.
Which, I mean, but then also is my understanding of the issue correct?
Correct.
Okay. Is it correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what they're arguing.
Yeah.
Yes.
They've paid it, from what I understand.
They haven't paid yet.
Well, they count against them, and they're saying, no, it's
He said, no, it can't be asked. It's a court matter.
Yeah.
And there is a ruling on the matter, or either a court or some other, but it's in some arbitration thing. But because it happened, because of the separation of the entities, these were throwing this thing to the department. These are the... you pay up there, but the sooner they can merge them so that whoever is responsible takes responsibility.
And it was an advertising program for the BDM program.
Yes.
So therefore, when the minister took ownership, Minister of Comms took ownership of the BDM program, she was quickly to try and shell the debt to someone else.
Yeah.
Proximity issues. can we move to the next?
Sorry, Chair.
You, Baba.
Just on a point of clarity, I just asked Honourable Shin if Media Corner had won that court case. And according to this, they have. Have they won that court case? Does anybody know? Because what we said here is ensure that the amount is paid by the Department of Communications. Now, you know, it's almost admitting liability. So if this court case has been won and, you know, the court has said that Media Corner needs to be remunerated, then clearly that's relevant. But if the court case hasn't proceeded and there's no judgment, then we can't say that, Chair. I'm not sure that
the
judge...
My understanding was that there is a room. And the Department of Postal Services is saying it's not our baby. The ruling was, where did it happen? I don't know what the year was. Who? But I know that there was this thing. The other saying, no, it's you. The other saying, it's that one. So they haven't paid. They haven't settled. That's what I think is the situation. It's a recent development, I think. But the department can help us to clarify the matter, so that we have a proper record. But that's how it was raised. Actually, Umashe, who let us or Shelley, they can best explain it because they are the people who, if you could just carry for us so that we are clear about the situation. So that it does actually come almost in the form of a quick one page written so that it's circulated to members. You must have an idea about it. Even on text and how much to do, what carries on that matter? You must come in writing in the next 15 minutes. Not that I want it now, but we need it before we conclude our report. The next page. Technical, very technical. Page what?
Page 36,
the first line. Yes,
madam. We see the agency incurred fruitless and wasteful expenditure amounting to X amount, which has incurred, cannot just continue to say due to not repeat incurred again.
Okay, yeah, you must look incurred.
No? Where are we? Sorry?
First, bullet okay. On top of
36.
Otherwise, please finish it.
Yeah, that's fine.
Bullet one, yeah.
And somewhere down there, bullet 1, 2, 3, 4, the bigger bullets. Okay, you prefer that, you remove that one, it's fine. Commission, you're right, no one sees you see, that's okay. We'll deal with the mess.
Which one?
The one that is on page 36.
Uh-huh.
Somewhere
which
down there, which refers to, that says the committee also noted that this index could be impeded by other committees, the parliament calling on the entity to account for it. Why do you want us to remove it?
Because, Chair, I didn't want it to be seen like we were actually prescribing to other committees what they should be, issues they should be interrogating. Because, you know, we really can't tell another committee what they can and cannot do. And I just felt that we needed to perhaps say that we've noticed that this happened with concern. Now, you know, my view on that is that CSIS should have been strong enough to have not answered the question. You know, this comes from my journalistic background. But you can ask whatever questions you want. It's up to the person who's being questioned as to whether or how they answer it. Now, you know, CSIS could have said, this is a very sensitive investigation at this stage, we would rather not reveal the names of the people concerned. Or whatever, I can't remember the actual wording of it. But I don't want it to be seen that this committee is prescribing to other committees what issues they should have. What we should be able to do is perhaps coach CETA and advise them on how to handle it, and perhaps also sensitise other committees if we know they're happening, or be there. Because, you know, I just don't want us to do, who are we? Just, if some other committee came to us and said, you can't do that.
No, it's a respect. I think I agree with you entirely. And that's why I made an undertaking to engage with the leadership of the institution, including some of those committees, so that we can handle this matter in the best interest of both the people that are working for the state and the public. Look, you can't raise, but I agree with you that if there are matters that are being raised and you say the matter is at a sensitive stage, some people, unless you have a defense in the committee, if the whole committee says, no, you shall tell us now and now, you are accounting to us, you can't keep anything away from us. So that's the attitude of committee. People have got no respect for certain processes. And I know earlier on I was talking to this gentleman, the right to know. And committees would insist that this is parliament, you account here and nowhere else. You are not accounting to yourself. Not being sensitive to certain things. You see, that's why when we met with Home Affairs, at least we defended, we protected, we said, there are issues that are sensitive. So treat the matter. Make them to say everything, but if there are matters that are sensitive, allow them to keep it to themselves. That's what you said in that meeting. And they respected it, but you have a situation where some committees can be very insensitive and very brutal because that entity does not account to them necessarily. Therefore, they do not have sufficient information to appreciate the dangers that they have put other people in. And that's why we're saying that we lost a very competent CFO because of the recklessness of Parliament. And I agree with you, they could have said, please, on this matter, there are sensitive matters that we are dealing with, but whatever. But it's a situation that I think as public reps, we should be very sensitive about. We will lose very good people. You can imagine us losing the CETA CEO now. Mm. What will happen? If we lose the CFO, if we lose the CETA, and we will not blame anybody, we won't blame ourselves, we'll blame everyone else. So, but perhaps it's a matter that we should
find a way. Perhaps we can remove it here, but yeah, if it remains unsaid, because my view was that even as we debate, this matter must be highlighted, that colleagues, we must be sensitive to certain things.
Well, I can't remember the scope or who they were before, but you know, they may take a more aggressive stance than we would, because they may believe that we've been captured by the entity, you know, so therefore we have a certain softer spies, we sort of, you know, because we like the guys or something. You know, so I can understand that they need to be, in their interrogation, a little more probing, perhaps. Obviously, you know, I've been in committees where, you know, it's actually quite brutal. So, you know, my concern is that, A, we can't tell another committee how to do its business, but B, somehow we need to actually protect, particularly something like this, or advise, or coach in some way how to handle those kind of brutal questions when there is something as sort of life-threatening as this is. So yeah, if you're taking it up at higher at committees, chair of committees or whatever, you know, that's fine. It's just that I didn't want to be seen to be dictating to another committee how they should do their business.
Some dictatorship is necessary.
I take the point.
So what are you going to do about this?
I will. I'll do what I can do. But yeah. Papa Nogin.
So on and on.
We will let's try and
let's remove.
She's correct that this thing that we are saying is not in line with the dictates of both the Constitution and the rules of Parliament. So the rules allow a committee to call
anyone.
And anyone is anyone.
Yes.
And sometimes they terrify these people, you know. Because you guys can be very brutal. You are not as sweet as me.
Like Henry can be so sweet.
Yeah, this one. Post office. Shoo.
No, post
okay.
office.
Okay. Who was talking now? Who was going to be talking? Can you, Baba Mackenzie, just proceed?
Thank you, Chair. Dictator doesn't switch off his mic. After our IT specialist at SARS appeared on social media, I can't say protect me anymore. Chair, on the bullet points, below the one we've just been discussing, the committee noted that an additional two directors have resigned. Can you just put a space between the two and the directors? Have you got that, Hajira? And then the bullet point below that, 1, 2, 3, 4 lines, beginning qualified people to work for the entity and alternatively. Now, I would say you should remove that because the sentence reads, the quality of the leadership should be addressed by attracting qualified people to work for the entity and also prevent qualified and skilled people from leaving. So it's not a... It's not an and, you know. If you say alternatively, you say you're doing that or you must do this. So remove that.
Right.
Are we clear there? Thank you, Chair. I'm done.
Okay.
For her birthday, are we fine? Page number 370. Yeah, the technical changes, which is fine.
Thank you, Chair. Just one technical change. Under the heading of 14.3, in respect of, that's italicized. It should be just normal character. Thank you, Chair.
Nine.
Okay.
Page number?
37. Oh, good. Oh, good. Oh, good. Oh, good. Oh, good. Oh, good. Okay, I see.
You're asking something that is in the report.
Yeah.
Okay.
On page 36, I wanted to say the alternative should be not addressed the retention strategies of the organization.
That's what you were talking about.
Yeah.
Yes.
Instead of coining it the way it is.
Yes, that has been corrected.
Yeah.
Yes, the retention. That's what you want. That's what you tell me.
Okay.
Ibu Baba.
So, Chair, I think, if I can assist Ms. Abrams, I think she's saying, can we include the words retention strategy in that paragraph?
Oh, okay.
So, I mean,
you
could say, and a retention strategy that also prevents.
Okay. Yeah.
Would that make you happy? Thank you, Chair.
We are on page 38.
Yeah, there was a number I missed. Kinsey has pointed it out. The numbers change lines. This is the committee noted that the Auditor General found there was uncertainty, and then it's bullet points. Page 38.
Oh, yes.
Is there a
middle, just below the middle?
Yes, yeah. Committee noted that the Auditor General found there was a material uncertainty related to the entity's ability to continue as a going concern.
Mm-hmm.
Have you got that in that paragraph?
Yes.
The figure here, there's a number missing. Then there should actually be 471. You see, there should be another number there. Can we check that figure?
I thought you will deal with it, but it's fine.
Yes, sir.
On the, you know, the bullet, the third bullet, at the end of a bullet, where is this? Where is that? Where is talking about the country? Tell me to look at the country. You see where it says the one above? Yes.
Oh, yes. On 38. Yes. Where do we put this hyphen of directors something? The committee questioned the amount allocated for directors.
Please.
You cannot have two hyphen.
And also the
amounts for 100. Maybe directors like one word and have only one hyphen there.
It's corrected.
Oh, corrected.
The first figure at the end.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. Under SAPA, committee observed the following 1-2 third bullet point. The committee observed that SAPA received a capital ejection of 3.7 billion, which was used to settle historical debts with commercial banks. In the next sentence, if you can start it off a relatively low capital expenditure of $44 million was still of concern. Have you got that?
Yeah.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay. There's a bullet there somewhere down, which has the MTEF. Where? Which page is it?
MTEF.
In respect of the MTEF, I think it's page 14.
Yeah.
Madam Mackenzie, just read for me that statement and the...
Respect to the MTEF commission.
Has Martin Sacco indicated that funding requests have been submitted to
I think
funding.
It's good like that, Chair. You could just change... you could change that after MLAP, you could change that have to has, and then I think it's fine.
What?
So in respect of MTEF submissions for 2018-2019, SAPA noted that funding requests have been submitted to the Department and National Treasury, and that a management letter action program has been implemented.
The fact
what has to resolve
no, but
finding.
Then noted. It is then that has submitted, isn't it?
If they have, they could note it for us.
They can indicate it to us.
Well, they can say.
Indicate.
Can they say?
Yes.
Yeah, separate set. That's funding.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah. And the Falkland Barton.
Chair, just on that same page.
Yeah.
With your indulgence. The second last bullet point, if you can just capitalize the at the beginning of it. And then at the next line. Second last bullet point.
From where?
I'm on page 40. So just above. Just above 14.6.
14.6.
The second bullet point above that, still under the SAPO.
Which is page 41?
Got it on page 40. Is it on 41? It starts off, the financial and performance management was affected. You've just got to capitalize the...
Where are you now?
So if you go on to page 41 and go to point 14.6 in respect of Universal Service and Access Agency, then go above that, two bullet points. The second bullet point above that. So second last bullet point. Are you with me? The. That the financial and performance management was affected by the failure of management.
Oh, yeah, it is capitalized.
Okay, I haven't got it on my one.
Okay, then it's there at the beginning.
And then the next line, affected by the failure of management to implement proper record keeping, regular reconciliations were not adequately prepared. And then in the last bullet point, there was a need for SAPA to clear its postal backlog. Because it's not just parcels, Chair, it's letters and all kinds of stuff. Thank you, Chair. Postal backlog.
Not parcel.
Not parcel. Thank you, Chair.
The next page. On the same page, there's a technical glitches here, and there's a paragraph, bullet number 3. It's fine. The rest is fine. The proposed changes are in order. That takes us to page number 42.
You? Why did you cut it for 30
seconds? The font,
yeah. The font. Hajira, can you please make a bigger font next time?
The next page, no, there's something before I go to this thing. It's in Usasa, somewhere down there.
You are still with us?
No, I don't know where, but...
Or somewhere in the middle.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Or the round bullets, 1, 2, 3. Oh, this is the problem.
We are still in page 42.
Yeah, I'm going to go back. I just want to check with him. How significant is it? Yeah, you see there's a bullet here, which I'm trying to find. It's just a technical, small kind of problem. Are you able to see it? Okay.
I'm not the one sitting on the living room.
Hey, you know what? One of the things that I think we should deal with is something that appears on page 42. That bullet of the chief executive officer. How did you arrive at this recommendation?
It's here on a file.
Bullet, right? Where we are saying the CEO, Ms. Mpindi, must be held directly responsible for non-achievement of the target?
Yes.
Do
you have a message on page 42? Right? Mandipa, on page 42.
Chair, let me assist. In the Auditor General's report, and I remember this quite clearly, of their performance indicators at USASA, it was non-performance of senior management, non-performance of CEO. That was directly attributed, and there must have been 6 or 7 of them that were directly attributed to senior management. I'm not sure it's correct that we actually single out Mr. Mtinde. But what I did say to him at the time during the committee was, you know, you lead this organization as the CEO, therefore the buck must stop with you for the, you know, the failure of your executive team to achieve these indicators. So I think that was the point that was made. I'm not sure if you want to soften it, Chair. I'm
no,
easy.
No. I don't understand what I'm suggesting.
Oh, sorry.
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, Chair, in light of his reinstatement and the reasons that were given in his report, I think we need to rework this one.
Not necessarily. But I think the only problem I have is consistency. It's consistency in what we are saying. I have a problem with singling him out when we don't single others out for non-performance. But if we have to single people out, that must be, we must then have a convention and we say here DG Kamete must be responsibly held, whatever.
Because if we put, then we are inconsistent. The only problem I have is consistency. Accounting, I have no problem. The fact that we've not mentioned other people by name, but we've mentioned him by name, becomes a problem. It becomes like a personal vendetta against a person.
That's
just
as colleague McKenzie has said, you know, we don't necessarily need to single out Mr. Mtimdi. He was irrefutably the CEO of the organisation when the Auditor General did the report and hammered the leadership of the organisation for poor performance. Those were all they gave them quite a hammering on, you know, leadership issues. So, you know, we have to say that the Auditor General, for whatever the words were, hammered them for poor leadership throughout all the failed, you know, all the failed targets and that sort of stuff. We don't necessarily need to name him, but I think we must note that the auditor, you know, hammered them for poor management of the institution.
I honestly don't have a problem in individuals being mentioned with working, but if we do that, we must then be consistent.
Yeah, I think what we had several entities come and present to us, and I think for the most part, you know, the trends were quite favourable. What in terms of improved audit outcomes and better governance, and what we saw with USASA was a regression. If you look at those trend indicators, and I can see the slide in my mind, you could see those arrows going the wrong way. They'd actually moved in the previous financial year, they'd moved, and now they'd regressed in this last reporting period. So and no other entity that appeared before us had done that. So I think it was worth singling out for that reason alone, that this organization had actually gone back compared to what they had reported the previous year. And that was directly attributed by the AG to a failure on the part of the executive. Thank you, Chair.
Well, I don't know. I remain, like I said, I don't have a problem. But when we single people out with their names, if leadership is blamed, because that's what even the Auditor General refers to leadership, doesn't refer to a person. It refers to leadership, weakness in the leadership, weakness, going down. And the leadership, in terms of the Auditor General, is the minister, is the board, is the CEO, those, and the CFO, depending as to whether it's financial or other things. But the CEO is there. Now, if we rephrase that thing and refers to leadership of USASA, be held accountable by who? I mean, personal responsible or responsible. And unfortunately, in our reporting, I think one of the things we have not done is we've only mentioned one person, which is the minister, with regards to DP with the department. From there, we actually need to refer to the boards. Because you just mentioned the entities, we haven't referred to any level of accountability in our reports, if you can remember, I'm not sure all members would, if you went through the report, you'll see that. We only mentioned the minister there in the first part. From there, we didn't mention nothing. But in this case, can I request that we remove the name and we retain leadership? Because that's what the Auditor General have referred to.
Leadership.
Yeah. Yeah. Leadership, because it's that band. The ship should be held responsible.
Chair?
Yes.
Chair, can we say executive leadership? I think it's important to note that, you know, because executive leadership, if you look under performance of line management, that's a direct reporting function into executive leadership. So
Chair, can we just say executive leadership? Because non-executive leadership wouldn't be responsible for the achievement of line managers. Those are people that report directly into an executive leadership in a leader in the organization. So poor planning, lack of skill, poor selection of service providers, these are all executive functions. They're not non-executive. So if we can just say executive leadership, I think
how
that would be
how
preferable.
Would you really, if we take that route, you see, the people that account to us, the minister and the boards, if the minister doesn't handle the DG to account, the minister must take the responsibility. If the board does not take their CEOs to account, you must take the board on. If the CEO allows his managers to misbehave and the board leaves him to go on holiday, the board must take responsibility. At the end of the day, the accounting authority is the board. And the CEO accounts to them. That's why when they come here, we want to speak to the chairperson. And the chairperson said, okay, then my CEO will present the report. So the people who account to us are the boards. So that executive authority, I mean, that accounting authority is the ones that account to us. Legally. Those are the people who are, those CEOs, they account to their respective boards. But let's hold the leadership, Baba McKenzie.
Okay,
and I wouldn't say executive, because once we go there, we'll be unable to manage it going forward. If you say leadership, it's fine, because it includes all of them.
Mm-hmm.
But if we talk about the people who really account to us, that is the board, Minister. Let's say leadership, because that's how the Auditor General deals with it. Shall we move to the next page 42, 43? Technical corrections. Any takers?
Sure.
Yes, ma'am.
Did we somewhere wrote in full the SMART?
The SMART?
Mm. Is it written in full somewhere?
Yes, it is. Earlier.
Okay, didn't
you? Yes, it is there.
Okay.
The SMART is there.
Okay.
Next page. 44. Wait a minute. Where are we? Okay. On page 44, Madam Sheen has proposed a range of technical to make it to
like
be
for the trend.
Yeah, the same until here. I mean two up to the last page. She has made certain technical proposals, removing, ensuring, to dealing with activities, not ensuring, which is perfect. Right and deep. My assistant chief.
Some quote.
No, that's perfect. Yeah. Oh, that's fine. Page, yeah, what page 40?
44.
Yeah.
The last part one bullet, where it says, processes in place to curb the mismanagement of sick leave. Can't you just
page
say
44.
Talk about leave inclusively. You may not be able to manage the sick leave, but other leaves as well being taken, you know, recklessly. If you just talk about the leaves inclusively.
Mama Rashid?
Yeah. Chair, that was in response to a question I asked, because I thought that the amount of sick leave being taken was high. compared to ordinary leave. And so to me, it sort of indicated that people were taking their full leave and then providing doctor's notes for the other days. To me, it seemed that there was, it was, I was specifically referred to the fact that sick leave was very high.
Yeah, so maybe if we talk about leave and say in particular, sick leave.
I'm not worried about the rest of the leave.
There are people who will take leave from time to time, not sick leave, but
there's nothing wrong with that. I was highlighting the fact that sick leave, the amount of time taken for sick leave and the cost of sick leave was particularly high. People are entitled to take the full component of leave, there's no problem with that. But sick leave, you're not entitled to take 36 days a year off on sick leave. You only take sick leave as and when you want it. But to me, it seemed, I felt that there could well be a misuse of the sick leave provision in the conditions of employment. That there seems to be an awful lot of sick people all the time. The ordinary leave is not an issue.
We don't.
We take sick leave at our desk.
We ever get sick.
Particularly
sick leave, because it is the one that was, fine. There's no material damage. You can bring that one leaves and then sick leave in particular. It doesn't change the such the desires of this. 44, 45. Sorry, ma'am. 45.
Yes, ma'am. I think it's perfect. Wait.
Oh, big sister. Our big sister.
45 is fine. 46. Wait a minute. Baba Mackens, we are on page 46 and we're going to page 47. On SAPO, I expect you to have something to say.
You can't mess with perfection.
Sappy.
There is something that I think it's okay. Probably that was just corrected, so 15.4. Okay, we're going, still going there. Oh, it's good. Okay, that's part bullet. Oh, Baba Mshin, that's bullet, please.
I think it's on top of page 47 on mine.
Yes.
The liquidity challenges are adequately addressed. To take out the word facilitate, addressed so that SAPO can pay its creditors. So take out to and facilitate.
Point.
Yeah, Chair, for consistency's sake, the last but one bullet of page 47. In other pages, the last bullet, we have issues, comma, and. So here, why do we want to delete and?
Oh, and is included.
Mm. Okay, that makes an indication to delete.
No, it's inclusion.
It's last time now.
I just spotted something beautiful.
Baba Majin, I want you to deal with bullet 1, 2.
SAPO, yes.
Three, four.
Bullet 4. High employee costs are deceased. I think it should be decreased or addressed. Probably decreased. Thank you, Chair.
Sorry.
Pass that 2 bullets and then the next one. Ensure the SAP
circle.
Are you tired?
I have met one.
Mr. Mackenzie Belt, should we include public mandate there? Public mandate funding request.
No, why not?
because it's not just a normal request.
Yeah.
It's a fulfillment of the public mandate. That's the request. What is it about? So I think it's being so that we are clear about what
yeah,
funding is.
Yeah. Yeah. Good idea.
Yeah. Very good idea.
From the and then the next bullet, I think that bullet doesn't read properly. If someone can help ensure that critical vacancies are filled so that the lack of vacancies cannot have an impact.
Cannot increase over time.
But then it's not the lack of vacancies, it's the lack of staff.
The lack of staff, ne? Muy.
The lack of staff will not increase over time claim.
And then 15.5, the first and the second bullet, or you've removed it, right? Why did you or you remove that one? Perfect. Remove? Yes? One line is removed, then you go to repetition. Yes, you removed it. You had to ensure management implement audit.
No, it actually should have management implement. Management
this
ensure
one.
That.
Okay. Let's see.
Implement
and monitor. Okay, smart. Implement. Why don't put your money on the same line?
Yeah. We start that bullet point with an audit action plan must be implemented and monitored on a quarterly basis.
Yeah, that's fine. And then where are we? Are we going to the last page?
Yeah.
And then you change that last of one bullet. In line with what we discussed earlier on.
Mm-hmm.
And the last part one bullet will change it in line with the discussion we had earlier on.
Yeah.
And then can I get a mover with all corrections? Baba Mackenzie is moved and Madame
Ndongeni
has seconded. What will you do in the document? Are you receiving any response from?
No.
Put it on record.
I spoke to DTG Shalem. He said, no, it's not his responsibility. But then I said to him, he must order to DTG Manzini, and then they will give us that information.
Why do you think the responsibility to ask? It's out of court. Anyway, it's fine. Thank you very much. And sorry for eating into your lunch. The meeting is adjourned.
Next time,
Angela,
can we have another page, please, my dear? Otherwise, I'm sleeping here.
We must go to the